Programming for this special presentation from Chisholm Trail Broadcasting Sports. It's time for Enid Plainsman Baseball on 1390 KCRC and ctbsports.com.
That one is hit hard into center, and Holden, did he make the catch? He dove for it. Yes, he did. The Enid Plainsman knock off the Broken Arrow Tigers 2-1. It's all on his shoulders, and he'll blast it over to third. But there goes McNeil. Picks it up and throws him out at first. The Enid Plainsmen come back from down 2-0 and knock off the Edmund North Huskies 3-2 to close out the Gladys Winners Tournament here at David Allen Ballpark.
2-2 to cross. Swing and a drive to left. That ball is over the wall and out of here. Cross Bay just drilled a solo shot to left field to start this game.
Enid Plainsman Baseball is brought to you by Henniger Henson Funeral Home, Stevens Ford, and by our Chisholm Trail Broadcasting Sports Boosters.
Let's head down to the field right now with the voice of the Plainsman, John Herrick. It's Enid Plainsman Baseball on KCRC and ctbsports.com.
And welcome back live to Jenks High School at Hinchfield. It is win or go home now for the Enid Plainsmen here in the Class 6A Regional Playoffs. I'm John Herrick, joined once again by Butch Lingenfelter up in the booth. Jance Davis, our producer-engineer, back in our Enid studios. And unfortunately for the Enid Plainsmen, one of the more heartbreaking losses I've seen with this Enid baseball program happened earlier today. They had a 3-0 lead against the Sepulpa Chieftains, and then going into the sixth inning, Enid was able to hold on to a 3-2 lead. Sepulpa got two runs in the sixth, and then in the seventh inning, they got the first two outs, and they were one out away from victory. However, on a ground ball, Colby Jarnigan picked the ball up, and he was about to go to first base with the ball, but Colton Troxell did not get over to cover the bag in time, and the next thing you knew, that was the first of five hits for Sepulpa in that inning. They would score four runs on five hits in the game, and they would go on to win 6-3. And just moments ago, Sepulpa put themselves one loss away from elimination by falling to the Jenks Trojans 9-0 here at Jenks. So Jenks is now in the regional championship. They will await to see who they will end up playing. Now, here's what's going to happen. The winner of this game will move on and play at 4 o'clock tomorrow against Sepulpa. And whoever wins that game at 4 o'clock will then turn around and play Jenks in the regional championship game. And since Jenks has no losses, Jenks can go to the state tournament with a win in that game. However, if whoever wins the consolation game comes back and beats Jenks in that game on Friday night, that would force an if-necessary game on Saturday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. Butch, you know, this is something, you've been through something like this before. When you were coaching baseball, you lose a heartbreaking game like that, and you have to sit around, you have to wait a long time before you come back and play in a winner-take-all game. That's what the Enid Plainsmen have to do right now. What do you think about that scenario?
The second game, when you're sitting there after losing a heartbreaker like that and sitting wanting to hurry and get the previous game over so you can get back on the field, I think your mind races through a lot of scenarios as a coach, particularly about how you're going to do the pitching. Do you want to make changes in the lineup? And what do you say to your team to get them back? I think the first two or three innings are going to be tough for any player, much less the Plainsmen who've shown resilience all year long. But to get through those first two or three innings, maybe Braden Pierce will get his feet on the ground and cruise through some middle innings. And I think if you can do that and not just think back to what happened in the previous game, we'll be fine. We beat this team twice before, and they're a well-coached team. Bill Hudson is one of the best around, and along with Scott Watkins. But that said, I still think we're a better team. It's just getting through that early doldrums, if you will, and trying to get out of your head what happened in the previous game. Those five straight hits after going and being literally to the last pitch is always tough.
Yeah, no doubt about it, but you got to put it out of your mind now. Sand Springs last season scored had a record of 21-14. This year they're 16-19. They're scoring six runs a game, allowing five. They are 6-14 actually 6-15 now against 6A competition. Enid, on the other hand, is 12-11, so they fared better against 6A competition. And in those two games that Enid faced off against Sand Springs, but that was back in very early March, very early in the season. Enid won the first game 4-0 and then took the second game 5-1 back at David Allen Ballpark. So we kind of wondered if we were going to see Hunter Greathouse pitch in this game for Sand Springs. He is not. Instead, it's going to be a young man by the name of Josh Cordell. And for Sand Springs, Cordell is a senior right-hander. So we'll see him go out there on the mound tonight against Enid. And the big thing that we'll see for the Enid Plainsmen is Braden Pierce pitch tonight. Now, Braden's been one of Coach Brad Gore's guys. Coming on the beginning of the year, he had started off great, but here's the concern you have with Braden Pierce, Butch. He's been walking a lot of people as of late, and that's got to stop right now.
That feeds into that idea, how do we get through the first three innings? Well, obviously the most important guy is that pitcher go out and get you quick innings, get you back in the dugout, and get your mindset on offense. However, if that team has to sit out there and walk through deep counts and see guys walk, it just makes that toughness go worse exponentially, because you just start, again, sitting out there standing around in the infield.
Yep.
Makes it hard.
Sure does. So Braden Pierce is going to pitch in this game, and Enid is going to be the visiting team on the scoreboard in this game tonight. Sand Springs is now the winning team. It is now on the home team, excuse me. Hopefully they're not the winning team by 9-10. We certainly don't want to see that. But they are the home team for this game. Enid was the home team before against Sopulpa. Braden Pierce's numbers, though, as a pitcher this year, a 3-2 record. He'll be making his 10th start and his 10th appearance. He has an ERA of 2.81 and 37 and a third innings. He's allowed 18 runs, 15 of which have been earned, 25 hits, and 34 walks, 39 strikeouts. So he does have the 39 strikeouts. He leads Enid as a ball club with strikeouts with 39 of them, but also the walk number, 34. So Coach Gore understands the raw potential of this young man and all the great strides he has made from last year to this year. But as of late, the walking numbers a little bit too high, and he is going to need that to come down. In fact, I just talked to Coach Brad Gore moments ago before coming back up here, and I asked him, how little is the leash going to be on Braden Pierce if he struggles? And he just did one of these with his index finger and his thumb, and held it very, he said, it's not going to be very big. So if Braden goes out there and struggles, he will get pulled out of the game, and we will see Enid's bullpen get a lot of work. And unfortunately, we saw the pitching staff get a lot of work in the previous game, when that wasn't what we wanted to see. So we'll see if things turn around this time. The starting lineups first for the 16 and 19 Sand Springs Sandies. They're going to go with Josh Tabor, senior right fielder. Batting second, Matt Thompson, senior shortstop. Third is Trace Tolbert, senior center fielder. Fourth is Hunter Greathouse, senior third baseman. So Greathouse not pitching in this game tonight, even though he did against Enid earlier this season in a game where Enid won and Braden Pierce was the winning pitcher that night. Greathouse will be playing third base and batting cleanup. Fifth is Kale Savage, sophomore first baseman. Sixth is Braden Askew, junior left fielder. Seventh is Ty Steelman, junior designated hitter. Cal Watkins bats eighth. He's a sophomore second baseman. Ninth is Kyler Copeland, the sophomore catcher. And pitching for the Sand Springs Sandies tonight is Josh Cordell. He is a senior right-handed pitcher. The head coach for Sand Springs, you heard Butch talk about him just moments ago. His name is Bill Hudson. Then you look for the Enid Plainsmen. They're going to go with Amber Wojtyk, a sophomore second baseman. Batting second will be Mason Scrimmager, sophomore third baseman. In the three spot, Connor Gore, freshman shortstop. Cross Bay bats fourth. He's a senior catcher. Fifth is C.J. Arndt, senior right fielder. Kobe Hudson is sixth in the order, sophomore left fielder. Colby Jarnigan bats seventh, freshman first baseman. Eighth is Braden Pierce. He will be in the batting order, and he will bat eighth as the pitcher. And Colton Troxel, the senior center fielder, bats ninth. Head coach for Enid, Brad Gore, assisted by Chris Percival, Chris Jensen, Denham Sullivan, and Richie Tarango. So, will this be the end of the season for the Enid Plainsmen, or will they be able to extend it to tomorrow? We will find out in just a moment after this brief timeout. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Everything went as smoothly as I'd ever seen. Mother looked very nice. That in itself made the day easier to deal with.
No one likes planning a funeral, but we all deal with it at some point. You can take comfort in knowing at Henniger Henson Funeral Home, we'll be there with caring and consoling support you and your loved ones need. At Henniger Henson, we are intimately familiar with every part of the planning process, and we'll relieve some of the burden and grief. We have over a century of dedicated service, integrity, honesty, and friendship. This is Matt Henson. Please visit us at EnidWeCare.com.
We at Stevens Ford, Lincoln, and Enid are proud to support the young men and women of Enid High School with our sponsorship for the broadcast of this ballgame. And we encourage you to show your support by attending as many games as you possibly can. Being there is important because the young men and women of Enid High School today are the future leaders of our community. So let's tell all the young men and women of Enid High School, whether they participate in a sporting event or not, we believe in the future of Enid because of them. And do it by being in the bleachers as often as you can.
1390 KCRC.
Well, it's sink or swim at this point for the Enid Plainsmen after a heartbreaking loss earlier today to Sepulpa 6-3 after leading 3-2 in the seventh inning. They'll have to bounce back and now come through the consolation bracket. And that journey starts with this game against the Sand Springs Sandites. Enid took both games in district play early in the season, beating Sand Springs 4-0 at Sand Springs, and then coming back to Enid, they won that meeting 5-1. So, will the third time be the charm for Sand Springs, or can the Enid Plainsmen make it a clean sweep and win the biggest game of the year against the Sand Springs Sandites? But, you know, a couple of years ago, when you were an assistant coach on Bill Mayberry's staff, Enid, I believe, was playing in the regional round, and I think they won a big game in regionals against Sand Springs and then came back and played Bishop Kelly for a trip to state. Unfortunately, Bishop Kelly won, but you did find a way to get a win over Sand Springs in a big-time pressure situation.
A tight game similar to this one, and the last out of the game was Cross Bay sliding into the backstop on a foul ball to end the game against Sand Springs. Then we turned around, and that momentum built us into playing Kelly the next day and should have won the game.
Yeah.
Really, last out deal of slide at home. The call could have gone either way. We could have won that game. But that's what can happen in this one. If you can win a tight game, that momentum can build in itself.
Yep, and in that case, Enid would have to come back and play a game against Sepulpa at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. They win that. They would be playing Jenks, and they'd have to beat Jenks twice, since Jenks won twice earlier today. Ambrin Wojtek steps into the left-handed batter's box with a batting average of .347 this year. In the last meeting against Sand Springs, he was 2-for-4 with a run scored and an RBI. First pitch by him, a little bit too late on that swing, and he falls behind, nothing and one. Josh Cordell, right-handed thrower for the Sand Springs Sandites. Sand Springs in their black jerseys with gold numbers and letters, white hats with the Sand Springs logo on them. Enid in their throwback white uniforms with dark and light blue colors. And the Enid Plainsmen white hats with the Plainsmen logo on them. 0-1 pitch, and Wojtek couldn't catch that one either. He foul tipped it into the glove of Kyler Copeland, the catcher for the Sandites.
I don't believe I've seen him swing and miss two pitches in a row all year long as a foul tip. But fastball's up, and it's a weird time of night, and these aren't the best lights.
No, they're not. 0-2 pitch, missing outside for ball one. In fact, Wojtek doesn't really strike out all that much. He has 6 strikeout swings all year, and just 3 looking. That one lifted way outside for ball two. He has rewarded Enid by being the leadoff man. He's done a heck of a job getting on base in so many different ways. The 2-2 pitch, and he lines it back foul to stay alive. In the game earlier today against the Sepulpa Chieftains, he was 1-for-3, and he had a walk.
I wonder what his average is of how many pitches Ambrin sees in each at bat, because it seems to me like it's a lot.
It does. It really seems like it is a lot, because he just fouls so many pitches off and then doesn't swing at pitches like that one, which comes very low and inside to him to make the count full. 3 balls, 2 strikes. All right, that's a good start. Let's see if he can get on base. And he has to foul that one off. Wojtek always does such a good job, I think, Butch, of even when the count is full or two strikes are against him, he finds a way to do an excellent job of protecting the plate, and he does right there.
We used to be able to keep a staff that tracked that, how many pitches we gained, because we kept something called quality at bats, which is even if you make an out, if you've seen X number of pitches, we consider it a quality at bat, you shoot for 500.
And that pitch is low and in the dirt. He swings at it. Strikeout. Copeland has to throw him out at first, but that does take care of it. So for just the seventh time all year, Ambrin Wojcik strikes out swinging, and that brings up Mason Scrimmager. Scrimmager, sophomore third baseman in the last game against Sand Springs. He was 1-for-3. His average is .337 on the season. And in the game earlier today, he was 0-for-2. But he did have a walk and a sacrifice bunt. Josh Cordell's first pitch to him, nowhere close. It's low and inside for ball one. Got to find a way to get Cordell's pitch count up early on in this one. Top of the first, we are underway between Enid and Sand Springs. Every game in this regional today has taken a long time. This game was supposed to start at 6:30, and of course it didn't start until about 8:30. 1-0 pitch lofted outside for ball two. Winner of this game will move on to tomorrow and play at 4 o'clock, and the loser sees their season come to an end. It's that simple. 2-0 offering, and it hit Foyt. It hit Scrimmager on the hip. And Mason even looked back to check with the umpire to make sure. So for Mason Scrimmager, that is just the third time all year that he's been hit by a pitch. That puts him at first base with Connor Gore coming up, one out, top of the first. No score yet between Enid and Sand Springs. Coach Brad Gore coaching over at first base and Denham Sullivan at first. And Connor has just got to get out of this funk he's in, Butch. He's 0 for his last 13.
You're always just one swing away.
Strike there, and he didn't do so hot against Sand Springs in the last meeting. Was 0 for 3 with a run scored. His average, .337, but unless he finds a way to get this turned around, it's going to drop. Small lead at first base for Mason Scrimmager. Scrimmager was caught stealing in the game earlier today, and Gore chops it right over to short. He flips to second. There's one, and the throw gets past the first baseman, Cale Savage, and that will let Connor take second base. So it ends up being a fielder's choice with an error. So Connor grounds into that.
What was that, a second base?
I don't know, but that throw by Mac Thompson was, he spun around and he threw it so wide of the mark.
He did a complete 360, and it wasn't that Watkins' throw pulled him to that side, you know, and so he spun all the way around and threw it about 10 feet to the outfield side of first base. That's an error.
Yep, so it's a knee six. On the shortstop, Mason Scrimmager's put out for the second out at the top of the first, and Cross Bay comes up in the last game against Sand Springs. Cross was 1-for-3, and even though Enid lost earlier today, Cross did the best he could to keep him in the game. He was 2-for-2 with a run scored and two walks. One of those was an intentional walk, and that's a curveball that hangs and misses for ball one from Josh Cordell. Runner on second now is Connor Gore. Well, Cross Bay got singled home by Kobe Hudson in the game earlier. Can he get Connor Gore home? Well, that one smacked right over to the shortstop. This time, Mac Thompson makes a clean play to first, and the inning is over. No runs, no hits with one error, and a man left on base for Enid in the top of the first. With the bottom of the first next, it is a scoreless ball game. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Have you seen Bob and Janice yet?
The Bickersons? We'll hear them before we see them. I wonder what they'll argue about tonight.
Oh, there they are.
Are they smiling?
Hi, ladies. Janice, dear, can I take your coat?
Oh, thank you, handsome.
You two are acting like newlyweds.
I know.
What's your secret? A book? Therapy? Electroshock?
We are in therapy. Every night in our backyard.
Your backyard?
In our new hot spring spa, yeah. Stress and tension melt away. And it's a great place for Bob and I to talk and reconnect. Just the two of us.
Wow, you two will be the talk of the party.
I doubt it. We don't plan on staying long.
Marriage counselor? Liquid therapy? Private rendezvous? what will a hot spring spa be for you?
Get into a hot spring spa at Oakwood Pool and Spa, 929 South Oakwood in Enid. Find them on the web at oakwoodpool.com.
KCRC.
Well, Enid had a small threat going there in the top of the first inning. Wojcik struck out. Scrimmager got hit by a pitch, but then Connor Gore grounded into a fielder's choice, which was turned into an error by the bad throw by the shortstop. However, then Cross Bay grounded out to end the inning. And here we are in the bottom of the first, scoreless between Enid and Sand Springs in what is now an elimination game. Braden Pierce out there throwing his warm-up pitches, and you just hope, Butch, that he is on target in this game.
Just throwing strikes, because, boy, he's got stuff. He's been in the high 80s fairly consistently, particularly early in games, with a good breaking ball. And he has the tools to dominate a game with that fastball and that good curveball. It's such a change for him, and we talked about it repeatedly, but it's still worth mentioning that this is about 10 miles an hour faster than he was throwing merely a couple of years ago, and he was probably 6 inches shorter, almost the same way, really worked hard, changed his body, and I hope it pays off for him tonight.
Well, I hope his real pitches are going better than his warm-up ones. Because his warm-up ones are all over the place. I don't think I've seen him throw one strike.
They're high and in, and that's where sometimes when guys are a little tense, I always thought that's where they'll miss. Braden's a good kid. He's low-key, but you know his chest is thumping pretty hard right now.
I bet it is. Another big final score to let you know about. Deer Creek Edmond, a 5-0 winner over Bartlesville. So the Bartlesville Bruins have seen their season come to an end. And the first pitch from Braden upstairs to Josh Tabor. In the last meeting against the Enid Plainsmen, Josh Tabor, we saw him. He went 0-3. 1-0 pitch, lofted outside, 2-0. A kick in the deal from Pierce, low and inside. Not a good start, 3-0 count to the leadoff man, Josh Tabor.
Might be rushing things just a little bit. Again, that adrenaline can make you do that.
Four straight balls. Mac Thompson is next, senior shortstop. Last time against the Plainsmen, Thompson was the leadoff guy in that game. He was 2-for-4. Braden will check over at first base at Tabor. Kick and fire. Ball one. And I think out comes Enid baseball coach Brad Gore.
And again, he's up and he's in. He adjusted one time and went down and away, but went too far. You know, we always used to hear pitching coaches say, you know, keep over top of the rubber a little bit longer, which means, and we've used the word stay back or something like that. Maybe part of the issue here.
And there's already bullpen activity for the Enid Plainsmen. So Coach Gore, true to his word of what he told me before the game, I mean, if Braden starts to have any issues, he is not going to hesitate to go to his bullpen, and he can't. Not in an elimination game.
And we said if Enid's going to come back, they've got to get something from Braden Pierce and a couple other guys. Braden needs to step up here.
And the guy in the bullpen, who I kind of thought might start this game because of his really good ability to throw consistent strikes. Now, he doesn't throw the ball extremely hard. Definitely doesn't throw it as hard as Pierce does. That's Colt McCoy. And McCoy is in the bullpen right now, and Pierce comes back and rifles in a strike there to Mac Thompson. And it's one ball, one strike. So Braden has thrown his first strike of the ball game. Runner on first is Josh Tabor. A nothing-nothing game. And there's a smash into left, but I think it's going to be shallow enough. Now it's blooping into foul territory, and it's deep enough for Mason Scrimmager to make the catch for the first down. Throw over to first, and the runner goes and takes second. Wow. Everybody was kind of lollygagging back to their defensive positions, and a heads-up play by Josh Tabor. He saw that, and he took off, and he got to second base, so now he is in scoring position with one out for Sand Springs. Trace Tolbert is next, senior center fielder.
That's that you know, carrying over stuff from the other game. I don't think you have a better game in the first one. That stuff doesn't happen.
And Tolbert hacks away at the first pitch. It's up in the air, but it will bloop over everyone's heads and out of play. Foul, nothing in one. Tolbert, in the last game against the Plainsmen, was 1-for-4. He reached on two different errors and got caught stealing once. I'm John Herrick, along with Butch Lingenfelter. Jance Davis is our producer-engineer back in our Enid studios. The 0-1 delivery, outside corner for a strike, nothing in two, to Trace Tolbert.
I don't know whatever Brad Gore said to Braden Pierce on the mound a few pitches ago, but sure seemed to help so far.
Sure did. And Pierce will step off the rubber and check over at second base. And I remember in that outing against Sand Springs, he did go four innings, and Colton Troxel will have the other three. But Pierce pitched great baseball. He did have three walks in the game, but he did not give up a run, had three hits. The 0-2 pitch misses just a tad off the edge for ball one. Then the throw from Bay almost got through Pierce's legs, but he was able to hold on. That wouldn't matter so much without a runner on base. However, in this scenario, Sand Springs has a runner on second. Pierce rocking the fire. That one driven into center, but I think it's playable for Colton Troxel, and it is. There's two outs. Tabor will retreat to second base. And Hunter Greathouse steps in.
High curveball, but he got away with it. Just didn't quite barrel it up. Did Tolbert.
You know, Monday night when we went up, when Enid went up against Stillwater and lost that game in a heartbreaker in 11 innings, of course, Josh Fillade is the guy who everybody's talking about from Stillwater. He might go very early in the Major League Baseball draft one day, and he hit a double off Braden Pierce, and Pierce was like, I can't believe that. I gave him a pretty good fastball. I said, Braden, don't worry about that. It's Josh Fillade. I mean, yeah. You know how many pitchers he's done that to? He throws ball one to Hunter Greathouse. Greathouse was 1-for-4 in the last game against Enid.
Those guys that's got that power, you can actually throw a good pitch, and they hit it in the air, and you think, well, that may be a routine fly ball.
1-0 pitch inside for ball two. I mean, that ball kept carrying and carrying, and you're thinking, where? I mean, you think Troxel's going to have a play on it? Will he? And then all of a sudden the thing hits the video board out of David Allen Ballpark. It's like you just got to tip your hat to a guy that can hit that way. And Pierce fakes the throw to second, keeping an eye on Josh Tabor. 2-0 the count to Hunter Greathouse. Nothing ball game so far between Enid and Sand Springs. Enid will send up batters 5, 6, and 7 to the plate in the top of the second with C.J. Narn, Kobe Hudson, and Colby Jarnigan. Big cut on and miss from Greathouse, making the count 2-2.
That'll loosen you. He's stretching it back. He took a hard swing at a hard fastball, and now he's kind of arching his back saying, okay, I'm loose now after that.
See if Pierce gives him another one. Runner goes this time, and he gets a bunt down, and it's going to get behind Pierce for a hit. That was just a very well-played bunt. The runner went, and the ball was hit just squibbling to the left of the mound. Not much that Braden Pierce could do about that. That's the first hit of the game for either team. And that will bring up now Cale Savage, who is a sophomore first baseman, and Sand Springs has runners on the corners with two outs.
Oh, that was a great bunt. He did that by design. You know, usually he puts it down the third baseline, but he bunted it towards shortstop, but firm.
First pitch to Savage. Chopped over towards the Sand Springs side. Foul, 0-1. Sand Springs in the third base dugout. Enid in the first base dugout. Enid trying to bounce back from a heartbreaking 6-3 loss to Sepulpa earlier today. And Sepulpa took it on the chin against Jinx in the game right after that, prior to this one. 9-0. 0-1 pitch. Strike on a curveball. 0-2. So now Pierce is a strike away from getting out of this.
We don't want to say anything, though, because we recall how that seventh inning
went. We sure did.
Still got to make pitches, make plays.
That one just got a piece of it. He was behind it. And it went back to the net foul. And a lot of the, and pretty much all the Enid coaches said the same thing to me in between games. I asked them, I said, what is it about that? You know, how did you, how do you guys plan on rebounding? Well, you know, we always seem to do better when we have adversity, or we seem to make things hard on ourselves, but we can take care of it. Throw to second, and runners are caught in a run down here. The runner's in a pickle over at first base, and he is tagged out, but did he get tagged out before the run came home? No, they're going to say he came home and scored. Cross Bay is saying, no way.
They got it right. He just gave the signal safe, and that he was doing the illegal procedure move.
They're saying the run did not come home. So the runner was tagged out at first base before the runner from third came home to score. So Hunter Greathouse is tagged out trying to steal second to end the first inning. So we remain scoreless heading to the second. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
How's that car you're driving right now? Are you ready for a new vehicle? Stewart Nissan in downtown Enid has the perfect car for you. With a wide selection of new Nissans and used vehicles, you may have a hard time finding just one. And when you get a new car from Stewart Nissan, it will last because their service department will keep it like it's always new. If you're driving, keep going to Stewart Nissan and check out the full lot of cars, trucks, and SUVs. Stewart Nissan at 301 North Independence, or visit StewartNissanOfEnid.com.
Imagine, you're reading a book, there's a pretty decent buildup, and you turn the page anxious to see what's next. The end. Don't let your education be like that book that you just threw across the room. With convenient locations in Tonkawa, Enid, and Stillwater, Northern Oklahoma College can be the next chapter in your life. Enrollment for the summer and fall semester is now open, so visit us at noc.edu to learn more. And remember, don't settle for an unfinished story. Turn your future into something epic with Northern Oklahoma College.
Northern Oklahoma College.
1390 KCRC.
Well, the Enid Plainsmen get out of a jam in a very bizarre way. Sand Springs had runners on first and third with two outs. The runner from first tried to go to second, and a good job by the Enid Plainsmen to tag Hunter Greathouse. He was trying to steal second, while the runner from third and Josh Tabor tried to come home to score, and Greathouse was tagged out for the third out right before Tabor could score. So we stay scoreless, nothing between Enid and Sand Springs. In now the top of the second, with C.J. Arndt coming up first, followed by Kobe Hudson and Colby Jarnigan. Arndt was 0-for-1 in the last meeting against Sand Springs with two walks and a run scored. And earlier today, C.J. was 1-for-4. He did have an RBI. Strike called there from Josh Cordell, the starting pitcher for Sand Springs. C.J.'s average is up to .326, a .448 on base percentage. He's been a very good walker, been good at drawing walks this year, 18 of them. Second most on the team behind Ambrin Wojtek. 0-1 pitch, strike on the outside corner again. 0-2. I think a lot of opposing pitchers are seeing that CJ may not like off-speed ones, especially that curveball.
Yeah, down and keeping it away from him.
Well, and CJ pops up, and this is going to be playable. It's in the infield. Right to the third baseman, Hunter Greathouse. One up, one down. Kobe Hudson, sophomore left fielder, is up. He was 0-for-3 in the last game against Sand Springs, but in the game earlier today, he was terrific. 2-for-3 with a run scored and that RBI. In fact, he hit the first run of the game home that scored Cross Bay. In baseball and in sports, a lot of times you got to have a short memory. Let's see if Enid has a short enough memory to forget about what happened earlier today and come back out, get a key win in this one to advance to tomorrow. A strike thrown to Hudson from Josh Cordell, who appears to be quite in a groove right now. 0-1 pitch. Strike again.
Cordell has an unusual delivery. He steps, actually closes his stance, and as he lands the front foot, he steps toward third. So it's the one like you're from shortstop.
0-2, nowhere close, 1-2. And Cordell had seen the outside corner work in his favor, but not that time. And that one was just so far outside that his catcher, Kyler Copeland, had to practically jut out there and grab it. Same thing with that pitch, 2-2.
And he has different arm angles. You'll see him come home over the top. Actually, the first pitch to CJ was almost a sidewheeler.
Temperature at Jenks has dropped to 66 degrees, but still a beautiful night for baseball. Hudson goes down swinging, though. That's been one of the big problems for Kobe Hudson this season. He struck out looking earlier today, but he leads the team in strikeouts swinging with 13 of them now. With Colby Jarnigan coming up, quickly two outs against the Enid Plainsmen here at the top of the second. No score between them and the Sand Springs Sandites. Enid took the two regular season meetings between these two by a combined score of 9-1. Pitches high, ball one to Colby Jarnigan, who was 1-for-3 in the last game against Sand Springs with a run scored. And he was also, though, 2-for-3 earlier today, and he's been hitting well as of late. His average is up near 300 at 293. And he comes up with a big cut, but nothing but air, 1-1. And if you recall, both games between Enid and Sand Springs were pretty much low-scoring or scoreless games through the first few innings until the Plainsmen pulled away. Well, that holds true. Allen misses off the outer half, 2-1. Jarnigan left-handed, facing the right-handed Josh Cordell. Then it'll be Braden Pierce and Colton Trotzel, if Jarnigan can get on. Well, now he's got the count even up on him. Another big rip and a miss, 2-2. Got deuces wild on the scoreboard, 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs, and a nothing-nothing game between Enid and Sand Springs in the top of the second. Winner moves on in the 6A regional. Loser sees their season come to an end. How will it shake out for the Plainsmen? 2-2. Ripped back to the net. Good cut by Colby Jarnigan. Got just enough of it to stay alive.
Colby has been able to play multiple positions. He's the wild card of all these infielders. He can play third. He could play short if called upon. Played first. Played in the outfield.
And has been a relief pitcher, too. 2-2, but he chases that one. So, really good stuff out of the Sand Springs starting pitcher, Josh Cordell, early on. He has 3 strikeouts and no walks. And it is a nothing-nothing game still between Enid and Sand Springs through an inning and a half. This is Plainsmen Baseball on KCRC.
Everything went as smoothly as I'd ever seen. Mother looked very nice. That in itself made the day easier to deal with.
No one likes planning a funeral, but we all deal with it at some point. You can take comfort in knowing at Henniger Henson Funeral Home, we'll be there with caring and consoling support you and your loved ones need. At Henniger Henson, we are intimately familiar with every part of the planning process, and we will relieve some of the burden and grief. We have over a century of dedicated service, integrity, honesty, and friendship. This is Matt Henson. Please visit us at EnidWeCare.com.
We at Stevens Ford, Lincoln, and Enid are proud to support the young men and women of Enid High School with our sponsorship of the broadcast of this ballgame. And we encourage you to show your support by attending as many games as you possibly can. Being there is important because the young men and women of Enid High School today are the future leaders of our community. So let's tell all the young men and women of Enid High School, whether they participate in a sporting event or not, we believe in the future of Enid because of them. And do it by being in the bleachers as often as you can.
KCRC.
Through an inning and a half, Enid and Sand Springs are knotted up at 0. And both games between these two have been competitive, and that's the case here again. By the way, you can pencil in the Deer Creek Edmond Antlers. They are going to the state tournament after beating Bartlesville earlier tonight. 5-0. Bartlesville had to win that game in order to force an if necessary game, but Deer Creek Edmond with the victory, and they are advancing to the state tournament. And that is where a lot of these teams in this regional hope to go. Edmond Santa Fe is playing Westmore right now. That could be a game. If Edmond Santa Fe wins that, they're going to state, but they trail Westmore right now, 1-0 in the fifth. Strike on the outer half from Braden Pierce to the fifth man in the batting order for the Sand Springs Sandites. That's Cale Savage. He had his at-bat interrupted in the first inning by Hunter Greathouse getting picked off, trying to steal second. Ball one. 1-1 the count.
Deer Creek has that 6'9 kid that a lot of people like, compared him to Randy Johnson, although that's not fair to the kid.
That's fouled off up to really high in the sky and out of play. 1-2. Yeah, I've heard some people have dubbed him the best kid in the best pitcher in the state. I don't know, but so far that's what I've heard. 1-2 pitch, missing inside for ball two. And here's the thing: you kind of only really need to have 2 or 3 really good pitchers to win in the state tournament at 6A. Because once you get to the state tournament, it's all single elimination from that point.
And I don't think that's a good rule.
2-2 pitch. Got him looking. That's the Braden Pierce we like to see.
Curveball just started right at the hitter and broke right to the inside corner sharply. Nice pitch by Braden.
Braden Askew, junior left fielder, coming up. In the last meeting against the Enid Plainsmen, Askew. Did you ask me or ask you? didn't bat. Foul tips this one into the glove of Cross Bay, nothing in one.
I love puns, just not that one.
No, you do. You're just mad that I said it before you did.
You're right. I didn't even think of it. That's what makes me unhappy.
That ball, one hops its way to home plate, in and out of Cross Bay's glove. One ball, one strike. And I think also maybe it's good for Braden Pierce to have familiarity because he knows he was successful in the first game against Sand Springs. That one chased on and missed. Pierce is looking like Butch. He's relying less on that fastball and more on his off-speed array of pitches, the changeup, the slider, and the curve. 1-2. Now he goes back to the fastball, which Askew fouls off.
Seems like he maybe has a little more confidence right now in his breaking pitches than he does maybe controlling his fastball.
This time he goes back to his curveball and plunks it. That's normally when he's hit batters, though. It's been with his fastball, but that time he hits Braden Askew on the inside part of the plate. So, with one out, Sand Springs has a runner on first. A nothing-nothing game, and for Braden Pierce, that is the eighth time this year that he has hit a batter. That has been a problem. He has 8 of 29 hit by pitches on the pitching staff. Next man is Ty Steelman. He swings at the first pitch and drives it into shallow center. Troxel dives and can't get to it, and so it'll be a single. But a good effort by Colton Troxel, just unable to quite get the glove underneath it. It was a good ball that was hit, unfortunately, for Enid, right in very shallow left center. Hudson and Troxel both diving for it. And, you know, heck, Troxel's made a lot of really good plays. You don't want to take that away from him. And he can definitely go and get that. Ty Steelman gets his first hit of the season against the Plainsmen, and it puts two runners on for Sand Springs here in the bottom of the second with one out. Runners on first and second with Cal Watkins coming up to the dish. He was 0-for-3 in the last game against Enid with a walk. Left-hander, and he stares down the right-handed Pierce, and Pierce rifles in a fastball that can't quite get to the strike zone, 1-0.
Tom, just playing a little deep. Steelman's a little guy, but he just dropped it just barely in front of Troxel. Like you said, made a great effort, diving just and got his glove on it, but couldn't keep it off the ground.
Pierce's 1-0 pitch way outside again, 2-0. So you hope now that we don't see Pierce start to waver a little bit, because after that strikeout, he hits the next batter and gives up a single. And he's already behind 2-0 here to Watkins. That pitch looked awfully good to me, though, but that umpire said it's a ball, so it's ball three. There's been a lot of pitches like that today for the Enid pitching staff that have been so close, and they have not quite gotten the call. Pierce looks at both runners, winds and fires, and that one was definitely outside, and it's ball four. Here we go again. Two walks already for Braden Pierce in an inning and a third. And the bases are juiced for Sand Springs now.
Now the catcher, number seven.
He's been really on going into that hit batsman. Even that single was a good pitch. I got a good hit. Now then, we're down the bottom of the order. Copeland's nine hole. Throw a few strikes, see if you can get a double play here.
He was walked in the last game against Enid twice, but that was against Troxel both times. Copeland, a sophomore catcher. He also had a sacrifice bunt, so be mindful of that in this situation. Strike, though, by Pierce on a fastball. Nothing in one. Got to be wary of that, especially since he has shown the ability to bunt, and with the bases loaded, could he maybe try a suicide squeeze? He has not shown a want or a desire to do that, at least not yet. 0-1 pitch in the dirt. Good block by Cross Bay. If he doesn't do that, the runners could advance and score one from third.
Some of those blocks are easy, really easy. Some are really hard. That one was really hard because it was a fastball. You don't usually see it outside as often. Good block.
1-1 pitch, nearly hit him, 2-1. Now, Colt McCoy was up in the batter's box earlier, up in the bullpen, rather. And how much longer will Braden Pierce struggle with command until McCoy gets back up or someone else? And that one's going to go off the glove of Bay, and he will pick it up and not be able to get the runner from third and score. Sand Springs 1, Enid nothing on a wild pitch from Braden Pierce.
And Cross Bay had no chance on that one.
I mean, that was so far outside.
Now the infield pulls all the way in. They want to stop that second run from scoring if they can get a ground ball to them.
3-1 pitch. It's popped up a mile high. I think it's going to get out of play. It will. And it landed right on the bleachers. In the game prior to this, between Jenks and Sepulpa, where Jenks walloped Sepulpa 9-0, a foul ball was hit, and it almost actually hit a lady. And they had to bring an ice bag out for her head and help escort her out. Luckily, she was okay, and they even stopped play for a moment. That doesn't usually happen at the high school games, but it did in the previous one. Luckily, she was fine. Now the count is full, 3-2 pitch. Strike three looking.
That's that breaking ball. And pretty gutty move to throw a 3-2 curveball, but worked out perfectly. Now go the lead off, and we're, again, one pitch away from getting out of this with just one run.
Josh Tabor comes up back to the top of the order, and more bullpen activity continuing for Sand Springs. They already have a 1-0 lead thanks to an advancement on a wild pitch from Braden Pierce. The inning started promising. Cale Savage struck out looking, but then Pierce hit Askew with a pitch. Ty Steelman singled, a walk to Watkins, loaded the bases, and a wild pitch from Pierce scored Askew from third. Ball one, rifled way outside. To the left-handed Josh Tabor from the right-handed Pierce, runners on second and third for Sand Springs and two outs. Nowhere close on that pitch again, 2-0.
And again, he's missing to the catcher's glove side, either left-hand or right-hand hitter. And I just tell you there's a little technical thing that he's not able to work out right now.
Pierce sets and fires. 3-0. Already walked two guys. If he walks the third one here, the bases are juiced. Considering how much of a rocky bottom of the second this has been, as a strike is thrown there, 3-1. If Enid can get out of here down only one run, that would be massive. With the 8-9-1 portion of the order coming up with Braden Pierce and Colton Troxel back to the top of the order with Ambrin Wojtek. And that pitch was just low enough to make it ball four. So Josh Tabor's been walked twice tonight now, and that loads the bases for Mac Thompson. There are two outs. Both of those outs in this inning have been strikeouts looking to Cale Savage and Kyler Copeland. But now, for the second time in the inning, Sand Springs has loaded the bases, leading Enid 1-0.
And it'll be up to Braden to get this out, or he's going to be out of the game.
Strike one on that curveball. The question is, he may be out of the game anyway, especially if more runs are given up here, because Coach Pradgore told me the leash on Braden Pierce is going to be awfully thin tonight in this game, considering it is an elimination game. 0-1 offering, blocked and low and in the dirt by Bay, 1-1. Cross has had to do that a lot over his four-year career, and this Enid baseball program is really going to miss him when he's gone.
When he blocks the ball, he just stones it. It doesn't bounce away, so runners advance. It's right at his feet.
1-1 pitch. Strike two. In fact, Cross Bay has only let up two pass balls all year. That's how reliable and sure-handed he has been. Can Pierce get out of this massive jam with the bases loaded? 1-0 Sand Springs. The pitch. Swing and a miss, inning over. Well, the bad for Braden Pierce is the three walks, but he also has three strikeouts, and he gets out of a bases-loaded jam against the Sandites. in the bottom of the second. One run, one hit, no errors. With three men left aboard, it is Sand Springs 1, Enid nothing. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Welcome back to Hilarious Hashtags brought to you by Jack's Outdoor Power Equipment.
Said I needed a new blower. Lady showed me a hair dryer. Hashtag should have gone to Jack's.
Asked to look at trimmers. The guy asked me if I was planning on growing a beard. Hashtag should have gone to Jack's.
Whether it's reliable service or buying the right mower for your yard, remember Jack's Outdoor Power Equipment. Come here first. You won't regret it. 1321 North Van Buren in Enid.
Dependability and dedication. That's what makes Messer Bowers Insurance the only call you need to make for your business insurance. At Messer Bowers, we understand that the success of your business can depend on the right commercial insurance program, one that covers your exposures to crippling losses and certifies to your customers that you have the right insurance coverages to work for them. Thousands of contractors have depended on Messer Bowers Insurance to make sure they can do their job and not worry about insurance for over 50 years. Messer Bowers Insurance, 233-1442.
KCRC.
Coming to you live from Hinch Field on the campus of Jinx High School. The 6A baseball playoff regional in full swing. The Enid Plainsmen playing the Sand Springs Sandites after losing a heartbreaker to Sepulpa earlier today, 6-3. I'm John Herrick. Butch Lingenfelter up here with me in the booth. Jance Davis is our producer engineer. And it is Braden Pierce leading off the top of the third inning after he closed out the bottom of the second with some dynamite pitching. He checks the swing on the first pitch from Josh Cordell. Luckily for him, it's a ball. 1-0. Pierce has been hitting .259 in the game prior to this one earlier today. He was 0-2, but he did have a sacrifice bunt, and he got hit by a pitch. 1-0 pitch, and Pierce loops this one out of play, 1-1. After fouling that one off. Probably the score that's going to turn everybody's head if you haven't seen this today in 6A regional action. Broken Arrow and Union. Broken Arrow ends up beating Union today 23-12. That's like a football score.
Somebody didn't hit their extra points.
Yeah, somebody didn't. Somebody also didn't get their two-point conversions
that's,
either.
That's right.
And a good eye by Pierce. He is ahead in the count, 2-1. Then Troxel after him, and we go to the top of the order with Ambrin Wojtek. And also, the bad news for both teams there, when a game is that high scoring, that time a strike from Josh Cordell, is that you have to burn through a lot of pitching. Even when you're the winning team that scores 23, you've got to,
almost worse, because you're still trying to win the game. If you're way behind, 10 or 11 runs behind, you're kind of taking your time.
That one, again, good job by Pierce to protect the plate, foul it out of play.
It's the second time we've seen Cordell drop clear down sidearm.
You're right, Butch. It almost feels like every pitch is different from the last one. And like you said, he changes arm angles so much, and I think that's why they went with him. 2-2 pitch. Pierce puts it in play, but right to the shortstop. Mack Thompson up with it. The throw is low, and Pierce is going to get safe. Well, that's going to be an error on Mack Thompson, his second one of the game. He had one back in the first, and he has one here in the third. I mean, that's just, he goes and he makes a clean play and scoops the ball up, but the throw was so low. The first baseman, Cale Savage, did everything he could to try to dig the ball out, but just could not.
It's just that footwork, right? For some reason, he did that 360 move on an attempted double play earlier. That one.
And there was no need to do that.
Yeah, he had plenty of time. Just take your full steps, little shuffle step and throw, and did it too quickly. Thought Pierce was a speed merchant.
Troxel tries to bunt it up in the air, right to the third baseman. Well, Troxel had an RBI double earlier today, and he also tried to lay a bunt down in that game, and he was called out. And there he tries to bunt right to the third baseman, though, in foul territory. The bunt was high enough that it allowed Hunter Greathouse to get underneath it for the first out of the top of the third. And we are back at the top of the Enid order again with Ambrin Wojtek. 1-0 Sand Springs. Enid, though, trying to change that script with Braden Pierce getting on by way of an error. So Wojtek, 2 for his last 5 against Sand Springs. And today in the regional, 1 of 4 with a walk. Ball thrown to him. 1 ball, no strikes. That gives him 20 walks on the season. And his brother Christian Wojtek was an awfully good player with Enid.
He was, and Christian's out in Colorado. I just talked to their younger, they have a younger brother, Aiden, was visiting with him between games. Said Christian's doing great.
1-0 pitch, and he gets that one out of play to even up the count on a ball and a strike. Fouling it off. Saw Christian also play for the Enid Majors summer baseball team.
He did, and was played football for the Plainsmen as well. Christian, boy, if Amron can get put the weight on that muscles that Christian had. He was a senior. He was a stocky, strong young man.
Yeah, he could hit with power, no doubt about it. Ball 2, runner's going to go. Throw down to second base. Pierce is dead meat. Good play by Kyler Copeland, the catcher. And Enid's just trying to find ways to manufacture some offense, and it's not working right now. As Pierce is thrown out. So for Braden Pierce, that was actually the first time that he tried to steal a base all year. He didn't have one, so it's the first time that he is caught stealing. I think both teams are trying to throw new things at each other that either one of them hasn't seen. For example, Enid hasn't seen Josh Cordell pitch, and I think that's exactly why, Butch, we're seeing him instead of Hunter Greathouse, because Enid already had early season success against Hunter Greathouse. Breaking ball strike to Amron Wojtek, and now it is 2-2 to the sophomore.
Cordell's been pretty darn good through 2 2/3.
3 strikeouts. Hopefully Wojtek doesn't give him a 4th, but he does. Josh Cordell is in quite a groove, and it is Sand Springs 1, Enid nothing. Bottom of the 3rd next. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Everything went as smoothly as I'd ever seen. Mother looked very nice. That in itself made the day easier to deal with.
No one likes planning a funeral, but we all deal with it at some point. You can take comfort in knowing at Henniger Henson Funeral Home, we'll be there with caring and consoling support you and your loved ones need. At Henniger Henson, we are intimately familiar with every part of the planning process, and we'll relieve some of the burden and grief. We have over a century of dedicated service, integrity, honesty, and friendship. This is Matt Henson. Please visit us at EnidWeCare.com.
We at Stevens Ford, Lincoln, and Enid are proud to support the young men and women of Enid High School with our sponsorship of the broadcast of this ball game, and we encourage you to show your support by attending as many games as you possibly can. Being there is important because the young men and women of Enid High School today are the future leaders of our community. So let's tell all the young men and women of Enid High School, whether they participate in a sporting event or not, we believe in the future of Enid because of them. And do it by being in the bleachers as often as you can.
1390 KCRC.
Well, the Enid Plainsmen season on the ropes here. They need to win this game in order to advance tomorrow. They would play Sepulpa at 4 o'clock if they do that. However, getting through this game has been no easy task. Sand Springs has a 1-0 lead on them. Trace Tolbert, senior center fielder, stepping up to the plate first for Sand Springs. Tolbert's 0-for-1 in this game with a fly out to center. 1 for his last 5 against the Enid Plainsmen. So you're hoping that continues to hold the form. Braden Pierce knocks the...
Let's go, Tracer.
Laces off the fastball there. That was a really good pitch from him, even though he almost slipped and fell off the mound. And he still got it to the outside corner, 0-1. 0-1 pitch. And there's a drive into center. Troxel has a read on it, catches it. So Tolbert has flown out to center twice in this game. Hunter Greathouse will come up next. He is 1-for-1 with a single, and he was caught stealing or trying to get on second base back in the first. And a pickoff rundown where with runners on first and third, Sand Springs tried to steal a run. It didn't work, but they would later get the run that would put them on top thanks to a wild pitch thrown by Pierce that scored Braden Askew. That right now the difference in the ball game. Wind up in the pitch from Pierce, and he jammed him, but he popped it up out of play. Clearly, Greathouse was uncomfortable with that swing, but he was lucky to foul off into the parking lot, 0-1. Bottom of the 3rd, 1-0, Sand Springs, 1 out. Bases empty.
Hunter Greathouse, a big-time quarterback for their football team, put up some impressive numbers.
0-1 pitch, floats out high, 1-1. Enid won the two regular season meetings between these two, but will Sand Springs win the one that matters most? 1-1 pitch, skied up in the air. It's in foul territory. Mason Scrimmager hurries over there to get it for the second out. Cale Savage struck out to begin the second inning looking, steps up to the dish, sophomore first baseman. Due up for Enid to start the fourth. It'll be batters 2, 3, and 4 of Mason Scrimmager, Connor Gore, and Cross Bay. Scrimmager and Gore, both hitless in this regional. That one fouled back to the net, 0-1. That, Butch, has got to change. If Enid is going to have any chance of advancing, your 2 and 3 hole hitters have got to start hitting, plain and simple.
They're middle of the lineup, guys. You put them in there for a reason. That's to keep rallies going, drive in runs. In this case, start rallies.
Check swing. Did he go around? The umpire points right at him and says, yes, you did. I don't know. The Sand Springs fans in attendance are letting their displeasure be known, and I think they might have a point. I don't think Savage even went a quarter of the way around.
He kind of turned his shoulder, you know, rather than swing, and I guess the umpire thought he swung.
And that one's in the dirt for ball one.
Braden always is going to have a high pitch count just because he throws a lot of balls and strikes out guys. He's already up to 58 pitches here in the third inning.
That one blooped into right on the foul line, and Jarnigan's able to drift over there and make the catch. And that's exactly what he needed, Butch, a very quick 1-2-3 inning given his pitch count. And that's exactly what Braden Pierce got. However, through three innings of play, the game belongs to Sand Springs so far. They have a 1-0 lead against the Enid Plainsmen. It's Plainsmen Baseball from CTV Sports.
Nobody does trucks better than Northcutt Chevrolet Buick in Enid. Northcutt is your commercial truck headquarters in the state of Oklahoma, and they are Northwest Oklahoma's only Chevrolet business elite dealer. They've got them all with the best selection of chassis cabs, crew cabs, commercial vans, flatbeds, auto cranes, and service body trucks. If you need a tough truck for a big job, your first stop needs to be Northcutt, where you can take a look at the all-new 2017 Chevy Silverado. You'll find a courteous sales staff with over 175 years of experience that will go above and beyond to help you find the right vehicle. Call 800-749-9536 today or go to northcuttauto.com to see their entire inventory online. Right now, get 2016 model year closeout pricing. Save thousands with huge discounts and big rebates. One-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs with easy finance terms, great selection, and the best prices. Northcutt Chevrolet Buick and Enid, your shortcut to a great deal.
1390 KCRC.
It is a 1-0 lead for the Sand Springs Sand Dykes through three innings. We are about to start the top of the fourth. Enid's the visiting team on the scoreboard, so they're up to bat here to lead the fourth inning off. Mason Scrimmager got hit by a pitch back in the first inning, and then he was thrown out at second on a fielder's choice. So in this regional, he is 0-2.
Number 2, Mason Scrimmager.
But he has been hit by a pitch. He's been walked once, and he also laid down a sacrifice bunt. Came into this game hitting .337. Stepping up to the dish. Taps home plate with his bat a couple of times. Stares down his opposing enemy, which is Josh Cordell, the pitcher for Sand Springs, who winds and fires. And strike there thrown to Mason Scrimmager. Butch, what scares me is I hope that with the way Cordell is pitching, one run is not going to be just enough for him, because right now, with the way he is moving that ball, it's tough for the Enid Plainsmen.
Now, we haven't really had good swings at him. No hits yet.
This is outside for ball one. 1-1 the count. He does have 4 strikeouts. Really, the only blemish is that he has hit Scrimmager. Other than that, he hasn't given up a hit. And his shortstop sure hasn't helped him out. Mac Thompson's committed 2 errors behind him, and he still hasn't allowed a run. Ball 2 to Mason. Boy, one thing I love about these regionals is they sure test your pitching depth. 2-1. way outside the scrimmager, 3-1.
And it's not only the number of games, it's everything is so high stress. So every pitch, you don't really relax much. I think that takes as much wear and tear on players at any level as does the number of games or innings they play.
Scrimmager trying to obtain his 18th walk of the year. Correction is 19th, and he just did. Ball four thrown to him. Mason just is a kid that doesn't get rattled by a whole lot, you know. He just, and he takes what the defense gives him. He does that when he's the quarterback for the football team, or if he's playing wide receiver, or if he's playing baseball. He just doesn't force the issue. And he gets on with a leadoff walk here in the top of the fourth, and now Connor Gore comes up. Now Gore grounded into a fielder's choice, but was stranded on second after a throwing error by Matt Thompson. He shows bunt here, and ball almost, I tell you what, that pitch was so outside. But my opinion doesn't matter. The umpire's does, and he called that a strike for some reason. That befuddles me.
Maybe if you watch that game show, How to Become a Millionaire, and you ask the audience, maybe we need that.
Maybe we need that.
Yes.
Well, except the Sand Springs fans are going to say that's a strike.
Well,
the Enid fans
are going to
say that's a ball. And Gore, it looked like he might foul it off, but it ends up going right back to the pitcher, Josh Cordell. He showed bunt and then swung at it, and a favorable hop for Sand Springs, and Cordell is able to get the lead runner scrimmager. So 1-6 on the fielder's choice, and scrimmager is retired on a fielder's choice yet again with Cross Bay coming up. Now Bay's 0-1 with the ground out to short. It's 1-0 Sand Springs, top of four, and one out against the Enid Plainsmen. Winner of this game moves on to play tomorrow at 4 o'clock and have a chance to possibly play Jinx in the regional finals. And that one gets away from Kyler Copeland. It's way outside, so on to second base goes Connor Gore.
Now, that was that sidearm pitch, and he'd been really good on the others. Third or fourth time he's done that. That one went 3 or 4 feet outside. Now Cross has arguably been our best hitter in the 8-9 innings we've had so far.
And he's two for three in this regional. He's been walked twice. One of those was an intentional walk, and he came in hitting .389.
You can bet with first base open, he's not going to get many fastballs here either.
He's already ahead in the count 1-0 thanks to that wild pitch from Cordell. This one he lifts high into very deep center, and it keeps going, and it's caught by Tolbert. Connor Gore's going to tag up and try to get to third base. He gets there. He doesn't slide, but he's able to hightail it into third. So it is an out against Cross Bay, but the tag up by Connor Gore gets him to third base with two outs now, and CJ aren't coming up. So now you have one of your better hitters in CJ hitting .326. He is 0-1 in this game, 1-5 in this regional with a run batted in.
One thing, having that runner get to third, even with two out, it makes that pitcher more aware I can't bury my curveball in the dirt for the fear of the wild pitch.
It's 1-0 Sand Springs. Can Enid tie this game? Well, Cordell almost hit Arnt. He ducked behind it. 1-0 the lead for Sand Springs. Two outs in the top of four. Sand Springs has their 6-7-8 portion of their order coming up in the bottom of the fourth. Braden Askew, Ty Steelman, and Cal Watkins. The next pitch to CJ. He fanned it. 1-1. Strikeout's been a bit of an issue for CJ this season. He popped out to third back in the second. If he can get a base hit here, that would score Connor Gore. Boy, would that be nice.
Stay off of that curveball, CJ. There it is.
He stayed. Boy, you called that one, Butch. Not only did he throw the curveball, did Cordell, but CJ did exactly what you asked him to do.
It's 2-1. Sometimes your old coaching background comes into play. You almost know what that pitcher is thinking, and then you're trying to do some telepathy and tell your batter, don't swing at that.
That's why he goes back to the fastball. CJ reaches out and fouls it off. Now we got, again, a lot of ducks out there on the scoreboard. 2 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs with the score. 1-0 Sand Springs. Enid's got the tying run on third base with the runner at the plate representing the go-ahead run. Cordell setting, pitching, and CJ boots it over to second, bobbled by Watkins, throwing to first. It's low, but he just got CJ in the nick of time. No runs, no hits with no errors either. A man left on for Enid. They've left two men on base. Bottom of the fourth coming up next with Sand Springs on the high side of a 1-0 lead. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Folds of Honor is on a mission to empower military families by providing educational scholarships to the children and spouses of military servicemen and women killed or disabled while serving our great nation. That's why Security National Bank of Enid is offering the SMB Folds of Honor Visa debit card. It can be used for all your normal purchases and doesn't cost you anything extra. A portion of each purchase will go to make a lasting impact for military families. Request your Security National Bank Folds of Honor Visa debit card today. Strong, safe, secure. That's Security National Bank of Enid. Member FDIC.
Encouragement. Would you like to hear genuine words of encouragement? Where can you hear those words today? For many, the answer is the church. It's here you receive words of encouragement of the never-ending love Jesus has for you, that God does have a plan for your life, and there's a special place reserved for you in the family of God. We are the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Visit this weekend and hear the words of encouragement you've been missing. To find out more, check the Yellow Pages for a Lutheran church near you.
KCRC.
Well, early on in this game, Braden Pierce was pitching and he had a hard time hanging on early on in this game with his command, but ever since then he's settled down. He's had three walks and a hit by pitch, but he's also had three strikeouts. Sand Springs, though, has a 1-0 lead thanks to a wild pitch he threw back in the second, which allowed Braden Askew to score. One game that's gone final, Westmore beats Edmund Santa Fe 2-1. So now what that means is that Edmund Santa Fe and Westmore have to play the if necessary game tomorrow, and the winner of that game goes to state. The 1-0 pitch. In the dirt, ball two. Colt McCoy has been warming up periodically in the bullpen. Moore is ahead of Ponca City 4-1. Booker T. Washington and Stillwater are tied at 2 in the 8th inning. There's a swing and a drive down a left field line and foul. UConn ends up beating Midwest City tonight, 14-4. So UConn is, I believe, another step closer to going to the state tournament. And another pop-up foul, making it now 2 balls, 2 strikes. Midwest City had a really good year in football, not so much in baseball. But basically, UConn and Midwest City will play at 4:30 tomorrow. The winner of that game, if Midwest City happens to win that, as that one's popped up, then Midwest City and UConn would have to play an if necessary game tomorrow at 7 o'clock. So Askew is retired there.
Now that I've designated hitter number 3, Tyler.
And Ty Steelman coming up. So if you're Braden Pierce, you just try to limit the damage here. Just try to get out of these innings and don't allow any more runs and hope that your bats can come up big. But the way Josh Cordell is pitching, that could be a struggle. And pitch low and outside for ball one to Ty Steelman. Now he got the second hit of the game for Sand Springs. They have 2 hits in this one. Enid has been held hitless. And Pierce's fastball money there, 1-1. One out, bottom of the fourth, 1-0, Sand Springs, and a winner-go-home regional battle.
When Brayton Pierce is throwing strikes, you're impressed by the kinds of strikes. There was 2 in a row. That's a high fastball he just now threw, and Steelman had no chance, and it's 1-2.
It's always nice to see that Brayton Pierce. When he throws that fastball by people, then he goes to the breaking ball and just frozen. This is the Braden Pierce that Brad Gore has been grooming. Mixing up all these pitches. Benefited from the summer. 2 outs, and now Cal Watkins checking in. Walking back in the second. That's what he did his last time up. He's been walked twice this season against Enid. Strike thrown by Pierce to him. And it gets better for Pierce when he can get ahead. If he can just get ahead in counts, that's really what's helpful. But when he gets behind, that's when things start to waver. And now he's ahead 0-2. His fastball clicking now, 0-2 the count. We've seen him throw in the high 80s this year, even the low 90s. He's a junior, so he'll be back for one more year after this. And he can't quite get that one in the strike zone. It misses down and away. One ball, two strikes.
Like you say, he's got some zip on his fastball right now. Going with a lot of confidence.
Got him swinging to end the inning. So strikeouts to end that period. A strikeout looking to Steelman and one swinging to Watkins. And for the second straight inning, Sand Springs goes down 1-2-3. But they lead the Eden Plainsmen 1-0 still with the fifth inning coming up next. This is Plainsmen Baseball from CTV Sports.
WTG.
What does that mean to you?
What to get?
Ribs, burgers, sandwiches, wraps, shrimp, catfish, wings, salads, great daily specials.
When to go?
7 days a week, lunch and dinner.
Why to go?
Fast, affordable, locally owned, smoke-free, kid-friendly.
Watch the game?
8 TVs, every sport imaginable.
Where to go?
Corner of Cleveland and Garriott, Westgate Shopping Center. Or have it delivered, 237-9464.
What's that great?
Simply Great Wings.
What is WTG?
Wings to go, don't you know?
Agriculture is more than a business. It's a way of life. We understand agriculture. We're local. We're here for the long haul. Agriculture is a business that varies like the weather. We're a financial partner you can grow with, in good times and bad, whether or not. Farm Credit of Enid.
1390 KCRC.
So far, the difference in the game, a run, which was scored back in the second inning for Sand Springs. The bases were loaded. A wild pitch by Braden Pierce allowed Braden Askew to come home and score. Sand Springs 1, Enid nothing. Top of the fifth about to start. Enid will send up Kobe Hudson. Not Jason Jarnigan. Jason Jarnigan would be Colby Jarnigan's dad. Kobe Jarnigan and then Braden Pierce.
We don't want Jason batting.
We probably don't want Jason batting. I think even Jason would tell you he doesn't want himself batting. Pitch to Hudson. Now he laid off it and Cordell threw it right in there for a strike. 0-1. Boy. Good call by Sand Springs head coach Bill Hudson to throw a pitcher out there that Enid did not see very early in March. But Cordell is really making it work here tonight. That one throwing it low and outside, though, 1-1. He does have one walk. That came against Scrimmager. You'd almost want him to face Scrimmager every time because he hasn't figured Scrimmager out once. He's hit him and he's walked him. But it seems like every other batter for Enid he's done well against. And Hudson drives this into left. That could be trouble. Good thing I just reversed Jinx Kobe Hudson. He is motoring on into second with a sliding double. Braden Askew played it off the wall well, but Hudson was able to slide in there in time, and it's a double for the sophomore.
And that was not a cheap one. That was a ringing double. This left fielder had no chance, and it took two hops.
Picked off the wall.
Number three, Kobe Jarnigan.
And Colby Jarnigan comes up having struck out already in this game. But here's the thing. Glad they reversed Jinx Jacoby, and that just broke up the no-hitter that Josh Cordell was throwing.
We did it. You know, we said that. You mentioned no hits.
And this time Jarnigan lays a bunt down, very close to staying fair, but the ball just rolls foul. And if you are Sand Springs, you are breathing a massive sigh of relief because Cordell and Copeland got over there and they were just praying that that ball went foul. Because if they didn't, Hudson's on third base.
And Jarnigan's on first. They had no chance of throwing him out. Just dribbled 3 or 4 inches foul on the dirt. Remember, this is a grass field, and that lends itself to the ball kind of squirting toward foul on a short bunt.
0-1 pitch. Now Jarnigan lays the bunt down. This time it does get fair. Throw to first in the nick of time by Josh Cordell. But it is a good sacrifice bunt by Colby Jarnigan that moves Hudson over to third base. And Colby Jarnigan,
believes
he's been a good sacrifice bunter this season for Enid. He has now laid down 4 of them to lead the team in that category with Braden Pierce coming up. He is 0-for-1 for reaching on an error. By the way, Edmund Memorial was eliminated earlier today with a loss to Midwest City, 4-3, then a loss to UConn, 4-1. I remember Edmund Memorial from the Gladys Winners Tournament. They played in that at David Allen Ballpark. Pierce tries to lay a bunt down, and it skitters back to the wall, nothing in one. I think he got a piece of it with his bat, but not enough of it.
He was trying to safety squeeze that runner from third, Hudson. Got the curveball and just fouled it off.
We are in the top of the fifth inning, one out. 1-0 is the lead for Sand Springs. Enid has a runner on third. A double by Kobe Hudson led off the inning, and then a sacrifice bunt by Colby Jarnigan moved him over to third, but there's one out now. And there goes Josh Cordell, faking like he is going to throw to third base, which he does not. So after tonight, we know that one of these four teams will be eliminated, but which one will it be, Sand Springs or Enid? And there's a drive into right by Pierce. That might be deep enough for a sack fly. Caught on the right. Goodbye, Josh Tabor. He throws home. It'll hold him up. Well, it was just not quite deep enough in right field, and Hudson has to stay put at third.
Yeah, good call by Coach Gordon. Kobe Hudson, he was, the ball was shallow. It looked at first like it was going to carry deeper to Tabor, but hit it a little off the end. He would have been a dead duck at home if he'd have tried that.
Enid left a runner on third in the fourth inning. Will they leave another one on here in the fifth? Colton Troxel tried to bunt and popped it right up to the third baseman back in the third inning. But he also got a double in the last game against Sepulpa that led to a run scoring. Chased it and missed, 0-1. Troxel, not a very strong hitter. 191 was his batting average coming in. But that doesn't mean he hasn't gotten some timely hits this year. He does have four runs batted in. And Cordell misses on that breaking ball, even though it was very close to a strike. Some of the Sand Springs fans, you hear them out there, they thought it was a K.
Thought it was an Oz, but that ball was high.
I think you're right. Two outs, top of the fifth, 1-0 Sand Springs. Can Colton Troxel tie this game up? Get a high by him on this pitch as that one floats downstairs and away. 2-1. Big score right now. I cannot believe that. Booker T. Washington and Stillwater tied at 2. That game is in extra innings in the eighth. It just shows you how tough the playoffs are. Stillwater would be the heavy favorite in that game. But Booker T. Washington hanging tough. 2-1 pitch. Sails away, ball three. What a gift this would be. If you're Enid, you're hoping Troxel just gets on in any way and sets up the leadoff man, Ambrose Wojcik. But Ambrose had a tough night in this game. He's 0-for-2 with two strikeouts to Cordell. And Troxel has picked up six walks this season.
Sitting on a 3-1 pitch here.
And Cordell hikes his leg up in the air, steps off the mound, fakes the throw to third. Hudson gets back. Once again, like Enid had in the fourth, they have it again in the fifth. Tying run on third. Go ahead, run at the plate. 3-1 pitch. And Troxel drops it into right. That could be trouble. And it is caught on the run by the right fielder, Josh Tabor. What a play. He was near the wall and foul ground and made an unbelievable catch to end the fifth inning. Two flyouts to right in the period for Enid. Bottom of the fifth is next. No runs, a hit with no errors, and another man left on for Enid. Sand Springs still leading 1-0. It's Plainsman Baseball on KCRC.
The Bank of Kremlin offers the best of both worlds, high-tech convenience and friendly first-name service. Their online services are very convenient. If you have an internet connection, you can do a lot of your banking from the comfort of your own home at bankofkremlin.com. Internet banking, bill pay, and e-statements all now available free or come in and sit across the desk from someone you know. That's community banking in the 21st century. The Bank of Kremlin, with five area locations, member FDIC.
Do you need money fast? Take your unwanted gold and silver jewelry or tokens to CC Coins and walk out with your pockets full of cold hard cash. CC Coins will pay you top dollar for broken, tarnished, and unused gold and silver items. You can also buy, sell, and trade your coins and currency. From the avid coin collector to the person looking for that special item, you'll find what completes your collection. Go see Clifford at CC Coins, 813 West Main in Enid, PM 001483.
KCRC.
Boy, that was a very close play, Butch, to possibly being a home run for Colton Troxell. It was near the wall, and it was caught by Josh Tabor, so the lead for Sand Springs at 1-0 stays intact going into the bottom of the fifth. That was earlier today. That might have been out of here.
I thought so. The wind was blowing out. You mentioned it a couple of times how hard it was blowing out, and that ball there, had it been earlier, I think it would have cleared the fence. It was only a couple of steps in front of the wall. Tabor made a great running backhanded catch.
Kyler Copeland will lead off the inning, and Braden Pierce continues to deal for Enid. A strike thrown to Kyler. He struck out looking back in the second. So it's batters 9-1-2 in the Sand Springs order. 0-1 pitch. Dribbled foul. 0-2. Sand Springs on this season scoring a grand total of 6 runs a game and allowing 5. They only have 6 of their 16 wins this year have come against 6A competition, but they could be getting their 7th unless Enid can find a way to mount a rally. Ball 1 outside, 1-2. Butch, you were right. You know, you might be able to win this game if you're Enid, but it's going to be a dogfight to the end, and that is exactly what Sand Springs is making this one, especially with it being a district rival. 1-2 pitch. Missing inside, 2-2. Kyler Copeland did a good job selling it, acting like it was going to hit him or it was way close to the zone. And I think the umpire might have bought the call there.
Yeah, he ducked like it was a buzz bomb coming at him.
2-2 pitch. Frozen looking at Braden Pierce. With another strikeout looking, that is his 4th strikeout looking on the evening. Twice he's done that now to Kyler Copeland.
Now, right fielder, number 10,
and in total, he has 6 strikeouts on the night with 3 walks. We go back to the top of the order with Josh Tabor. Tabor has 2 walks, 1 in the first, 1 in the second. He's been left on base both times. He pokes that one in the left, and Kobe Hudson has to let it drop in front of him. He had no choice. That was a laser from Josh Tabor. So the 3rd hit of the game for Sand Springs and the 1st one of the night for Josh Tabor. The other one against Hunter Greathouse. The 3rd one was for Ty Steelman of Sand Springs. They lead 1-0, and they've got another runner on first here in the bottom of the 5th. Enid's going to have the top of their order coming up in the 6th. Wojtek, Scrimmager, and Gore. Pitch upstairs, 1-0. And I mentioned, you know, Mason, yeah, he might be 0-2, but Mason's been getting on in a variety of other ways. Connor just has struggled hitting the baseball right now.
You just have to, you know, try to. Mason's been good at the plate. Middle of that order just has to come through and make it happen. Right now, it's big on Braden Pierce just to get through this inning and keep it where it's at. Nice curveball strike there.
Yes, it was. That pitch has just been a monster weapon for him tonight. It's got great movement, and it's really confused Sand Springs. The only, as he lays a bunt down, but it's way foul. Couldn't get, and you look at Mac Thompson's reaction. He puts his hands on his helmet like, gosh, what was I doing there? Because he was aiming to get that bunt down the first baseline, and instead it rolled a foul behind him over towards third, which wasn't exactly what he had in mind.
He was trying to push that ball to the right side, and the curveball fooled him bunting.
Thompson's 0-2 tonight, a strikeout and a pop out. And another strikeout! Braden Pierce throws him some high cheese, and Thompson went after it and couldn't get it. Trace Tolbert is the last hope for Sand Springs in the bottom of the 5th with 2 outs. He has flown out to center both times.
Well, Trace Tolbert.
See if Tabor might be in a running mode right here with 2 out.
He might be. This is a very experienced Sand Springs squad. They have 14 upperclassmen, 6 juniors and 6 seniors and 8 juniors, 6 sophomores, so not one freshman on their varsity roster. And right as you say that, Butch, Braden Pierce was concerned, and he throws over to first base trying to get Tabor. Tabor acts like he's going to run again, and Pierce sees it, and he's like, okay, I see what you're doing. Stepping off again, looking over at him. Now, Pierce has the only pickoff of the year for the Enid pitching staff, so could he come up with another big one here? 1-0 the lead for Sand Springs, bottom of 5. And that one, Tolbert reached out and got just enough of it to foul it off, 0-1.
The enemy of a running game is a pitcher who throws strikes, because you can never get a count. You can think you're going to get a pitch to run on. Keep throwing strikes, they got to swing.
A 1-pitch, runner goes, it's low, and because it got through Cross Bay's legs, he's not going to have a shot at it.
So, stolen base.
Stolen base for Josh Tabor. Tabor would have had that anyway. I think even if Bay was able to field that cleanly, it's just he got a great jump.
You know it was going to happen that at bat because Tabor's lead off, and we've already seen him run that down, ball down in right field. He got some speed.
And if you're Sand Springs, you're trying to steal another run here. Ball 2. Now this is where you hope that that runner does not get inside Braden's head. Because right now, with 2 outs here in the bottom of the 5th and Sand Springs ahead 1-0, you're just saying, hey, get this last batter and get out of here.
Talbert's their 3-hole, so you know he's maybe their best hitter.
Pierce lets it fly, but can't get it in there. 3-1.
Tabor continues to bluff to the next base, trying to get a balk. Pierce has just ignored him when he's done that.
Which is what he needs to do. He's been able to get Tolbert to hit the ball high in the air to Troxell in center. That ball, that pitch looked awfully good, but apparently not good enough. Too far inside, apparently. And it's ball 4. So now Sand Springs has runners on first and second with 2 outs. And Braden Pierce has 4 walks in this game, but that is the first walk that he has dealt since the second inning. He's been very good since that second inning where he struggled. But now, here we are again for Enid in another jam. Runners on first and second with 2 outs in the bottom of the 5th and a 1-0 lead for Sand Springs and Hunter Greathouse to the dish. Pierce goes back to his fastball and it can't hit the strike zone. 1-0. Greathouse 1-for-2. He is 2 for his last 6 against the Enid Plainsmen. And Enid would love to make it 2 for 7 and get out of this inning. And Greathouse lifts it into left. Kobe Hudson going back, back. He is near the wall again. Cannot get it. And it goes off the wall. That'll score 2. I couldn't tell, Butch. Did he just drop it?
Yes, he overran it. He's turned one way and then went with his face to the line. Went back near the wall, but the ball drifted back over his left side. He just misjudged it as he went back on the ball. It just hit a mile high and deep. A tough play, but one probably, he would tell you he ought to caught the ball.
I'm going to have to rule that an E7, and it leads to 2 runs. Scoring Trace Tolbert and John Tabor. So now it is 3-0 Sand Springs to Cale Savage. Well, now Enid's bats really have to come alive. Otherwise, their season will end the same way it did last year on the first day of regionals. Strike. 1-1. This is frustrating.
It is because...
You had 2 outs and then you walked Tolbert and then you get him to hit a fly ball, and your left fielder misplays it.
That ball was hit so high. And remember, these lights, it went above the lights, and that always makes it double tough because suddenly it gets to be kind of a blob when it gets above the lights. Hard play, but...
Now the bullpen activity resumes, 2-1. And it is Colt McCoy once again, who has been up in the bullpen really all night. 2-1 offering, liner foul, 2-2. Savage has struck out looking and popped up to first. But costly error by Kobe Hudson has just made this game 3-0. Advantage Sand Springs. all three.
This may be the last hitter for Braden Pierce, even if he gets him out, because he's over 90 pitches now. Anyway.
Three-two fire. Got him to swing and miss, and Bay, the ball rolled up in the dirt, and Cross Bay tagged him out just to be sure. Damage done, though. Sand Springs gets two more runs. They were unearned on a hit with an error. They do leave a man on base, but they've extended their lead now to 3-0 through five. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Warmer weather is on the way. Call Slater Mechanical today to schedule your appointment to have your air conditioner inspected for only $79.95. They are licensed technicians, and for only $79.95, you can have peace of mind that your air conditioner is ready for spring and summer. Get ready for the summer for only $79.95. Slater Mechanical will inspect your AC. Call Zach and Seth Slater at Slater Mechanical today. 747-3330. That's 747-3330.
Do you have a property you need to sell? Or maybe you're looking for that perfect starter home or dream plot of land? The A-Team at Coldwell Banker will work for you and with you to make your transaction as smooth as possible. Let one of the motivated agents at Coldwell Banker help guide you through your home buying or selling process. When it comes to such a big decision, you deserve the best, and you'll only find the best at Coldwell Banker. Call 233-8833 or visit enidsbest.com and let Coldwell Banker do the rest.
1390 KCRC.
As we approach the 10 o'clock hour here in Jenks, it is a 3-0 lead for the Sand Springs Sandites. They just got two more runs in the bottom of the fifth when it looked like Enid could possibly get out of the jam. Braden Pierce did have three strikeouts, but a costly fly ball hit to left by Hunter Greathouse goes off the wall, and it scores. Two runs where Kobe Hudson was not able to catch it and was looking like it was a fly ball that he should have caught. And now Enid will see their pressure on them really ratchet up here in the top of the sixth. They are 6 outs away from going home. Ball one to Ambrin Wojcik. He has struck out twice in this game. In the regional, he is 1-for-5 with a walk. Ball two to him from Josh Cordell. And then the other frustrating thing is when Enid was down 1-0, they had two chances to get runners home in the fourth and fifth and left him on third base.
Yeah, just not getting that key hit. Always felt like this game it was going to be a 3 or 4 run. That's what you got to get to win it. Same thing holds true.
Cordell delivers that pitch in for a strike, 2-1. Wojcik, a .347 hitter, .471 on base percentage. We will definitely see him on the Enid Plainsman summer baseball team, I'm sure. Fouled off. I think he got jammed and maybe didn't want to swing at it, but I think he felt like he had to.
That's what he started and then wanted to stop, but he couldn't. The ball was in on him.
It is the top of the order coming up here for Enid in Ambrin Wojcik, Mason Scrimmager, and Connor Gore. Two-two offering. Good eye by Wojcik. That one was way outside from Cordell. What's Cordell's pitch count at, Butch?
He's just now thrown 70 pitches, which...
That's good, because we're in the sixth now.
He's averaging, within that window, you'd like to see your pitcher throw.
And he's only thrown one walk with four strikeouts. There's another one. Well, that shows you how good Cordell is because Ambrin Wojcik does not strike out very much. In fact, he came in on the season tonight with a grand total of 9 strikeouts on the entire year. And now he has 12, 3 strikeouts in this game.
And of the 5 strikeouts that Cordell has,
Wojcik has 3 of them.
Well,
Mason Scrimmager has reached base safely in 2 plate appearances. He's been hit by a pitch and walked in this game. Had to swing at that one to foul it off, 0-1. The lead is 3-0 for Sand Springs. And, boy, for a year for Sand Springs that started off not so good for them, they have really come on as of late. In fact, there was a period in early April where they couldn't seem to buy a win. They lost twice to Union, lost to Broken Arrow, Bartlesville, twice, Casha Hall, but then two nice wins against Noah and Booker T. Washington. Mason had to foul that one off, and it's 0-2. And they also played Owosso pretty tough. Owosso only beat them 4-2 and then 5-0.
You look at their run differential or average runs per game, they're only 6-5 on the downside. Tells you they played some close games even when they lost.
Mason Scrimmager in an 0-2 hole. One out, top of the sixth, 3-0 Sand Springs. And Enid has the bases empty. Ball one. Just wonder, Butch, how different would this have played out if Enid was hosting a regional? I mean, they were very good on the road this year, but being able to be at home in the playoffs, that's a massive advantage that Enid hasn't been able to have since 2009.
It's a bigger advantage in the playoffs because people will turn out.
Ball two. Yeah, no doubt. Enid had you saw how many people showed up to the Stillwater game on Monday. That game didn't mean anything.
Yes.
And look at all the people that showed up.
If
Enid was able to be home for a regional, whew, would have been huge. But the two regular season games that sting when you think about it, the 3-2 loss to Moore at Moore, and then that 6-4 loss to Union. Scrimmager goes down swinging, and he gets tagged out by the catcher, who apparently whiffs on the tag and has to throw to first. Scrimmager strikes out. Connor Gore up with two outs, 3-0 lead for Sand Springs, and Enid is now 4 outs away from having their season end.
Cordell's riding a wave right now. He's had 2 runs they got in the last inning. This is the best he's looked the whole game, which has been good the whole game anyway. Only that ringing double by Kobe Hudson's
only hit.
Shot.
That's the only hit. Gore has grounded into 2 fielder's choices. Ball's behind on a strike there, nothing and one. So Connor is 0-2 in this game, and he was 0-4. So he's 0-6 in the regional. 0-14. 0-1. Connor chops it foul. And 0-1-1 very quickly became 0-2. You would hope to see Connor get on base here and maybe get one of your hottest hitters up in Cross Bay, but Cross has had trouble in this game against Sand Springs. He's grounded out to short and flown out to center. And I just keep thinking, Butch, about those 5 Enid seniors who have, prior to this year, did not have a winning season in any sport they played, and you don't want to see it come to an end tonight, but unless something drastic starts happening quickly, Gore will drive it up in the air. It's going over in foul territory. And he dodges a big bullet right there because the first baseman, Cale Savage, is unable to hang on to it. It drops foul. Well, he did have a lot of room to chase after it, but it lands out of his grasp. Sand Springs 3, Enid nothing. And what really eats at you, Butch, is the way Sand Springs has scored those 3 runs. One on a wild pitch and the other 2 on an error by left fielder Kobe Hudson.
Yeah, Braden's...
Because Braden's thrown a really good game for the most part.
Yes, thrown a solid game. Much better than if you did the other evening against Stillwater.
Cordell needs a moment, stepping off the mound. That allows Connor to have a second to step out and get a practice swing in. Kick in the fire. Inning over. Got him looking. So, Josh Cordell comes in the top of the sixth and strikes out the side, striking out Wojtek and Scrimmager swinging and Gore looking. And we head to the bottom of the sixth with the score, 3-0, the lead for Sand Springs. It's Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Linda.
Bob, welcome back.
How was your vacation?
It was fantastic.
Wow, you look wonderful. I don't think I've ever seen you this relaxed.
It was a great escape and the perfect family getaway. Connie and I got some quality time with the kids, and the four of us had a blast. Of course, we also made some time for just the two of us to unwind together. No stress, no worries, just total relaxation.
That sounds heavenly.
Yeah, who wouldn't want a vacation like that?
So, where did you go, Bob?
Time to share your little secret. Where is this perfect destination? Europe? The islands?
Our backyard.
Your backyard?
Yep, in our brand new hot spring spa. Backyard vacation? Year-round getaway? Family retreat? What will a hot spring spa be for you?
Get into a hot spring spa at Oakwood Pool and Spa, 929 South Oakwood in Enid. Find them on the web at oakwoodpool.com.
KCRC.
Well, Sand Springs, a chance to get some insurance runs, and Braden Pierce is going to stay out there and pitch. Does this surprise you, Butch?
It does, because pitch count's way up there. Colt McCoy's obviously thrown a bunch of warm-up pitches, and he's ready. Braden has one complete game this year?
I believe so.
And
actually, yeah, Braden does not have a complete game this year. He has a 3-2 record, and in fact, his first game that he won this year was against Sand Springs. But unfortunately, he is in danger of taking a loss unless the Plainsmen can come up with some runs in the top of the seventh. First, though, he's got to take care of Braden Askew, then Ty Steelman and Cal Watkins, batters 6, 7, and 8 in the Sand Springs order. First pitch from Braden outside for ball one. As he closes in on 100 pitches, that one goes and hits Askew. Second time tonight that Braden Pitch has hit a batter, and both times it has been Braden Askew, and I think Braden Pierce is done. I think we're going to see Colt McCoy, but I don't want to jump the gun too quick. Maybe this is just a visit with Brad Gore and Braden Pierce as Gore takes the long walk out to the mound, and Braden Pierce will hand him the baseball. So, Pierce's night is done, and we'll see Colt McCoy next. 3-0 Sand Springs in the bottom of the sixth with nobody out, one man on. This is Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Everything went as smoothly as I'd ever seen. Mother looked very nice. That in itself made the day easier to deal with.
No one likes planning a funeral, but we all deal with it at some point. You can take comfort in knowing at Henniker Henson Funeral Home, we'll be there with caring and consoling support you and your loved ones need. At Henniker Henson, we are intimately familiar with every part of the planning process, and we'll relieve some of the burden and grief. We have over a century of dedicated service, integrity, honesty, and friendship. This is Matt Henson. Please visit us at EnidWeCare.com.
We at Stevens Ford, Lincoln, and Enid are proud to support the young men and women of Enid High School with our sponsorship of the broadcast of this ballgame. And we encourage you to show your support by attending as many games as you possibly can. Being there is important because the young men and women of Enid High School today are the future leaders of our community. So let's tell all the young men and women of Enid High School, whether they participate in a sporting event or not, we believe in the future of Enid because of them. And do it by being in the bleachers as often as you can.
How's that car you're driving right now? Are you ready for a new vehicle? Stewart Nissan in downtown Enid has the perfect car for you. With a wide selection of new Nissans and used vehicles, you may have a hard time finding just one. And when you get a new car from Stewart Nissan, it will last because their service department will keep it like it's always new. If you're driving, keep going to Stewart Nissan and check out the full lot of cars, trucks, and SUVs. Stewart Nissan at 301 North Independence or visit StewartNissanOfEnid.com.
1390 KCRC.
Braden Pierce ends up hitting the first batter he faces at the bottom of the sixth inning. 3-0 the lead for Sand Springs. They have one man on first now with nobody out. And Colt McCoy coming in. McCoy rifles in a strike. Now McCoy making his 10th overall appearance, a record of 4-1, three complete games, an ERA of 3.3, 8 walks, 20 strikeouts. Strike from Colton there, 0-2. Colton's not going to throw it extremely hard, but he will find a way to throw strikes and just not walk people. So Braden Pierce's night has 8 strikeouts. He also ends up with 4 walks. That pitch missing outside for ball 1. Pierce ends up going 5-plus innings. He gave up 3 hits, and so far he has allowed 3 runs, but only one of them was earned so far. Now, he is responsible for that runner on first base as McCoy throws over there to keep an eye on Askew. But Askew gets back in time. Ty Steelman is the man up right now. He is 1-for-2 with a single tonight. And he'll go down on strikes. That is just, that's vintage Colt McCoy, isn't it, Butch?
It is, just strike 1, strike 2, and keep throwing strikes until they give in.
Now that is single baseman number 20, Cal Watkins.
Now Cal Watkins was a strikeout victim of Braden Pierce earlier tonight. He's 0-for-1 with a walk. Bunt laid down. McCoy picks it up, has an easy play to first. He gets him. Kyler Copeland is next. He's 0-for-2 with 2 strikeouts looking. Both of those were against Braden Pierce, though. On to second base goes Askew.
I don't know. I don't think I'd give Watkins a sacrifice on that because I think he had to be bunting for his hit. And Coach Hudson's visiting with Watkins over at third as we speak, probably saying, you weren't sacrificing. You're supposed to be driving him in.
Maybe that's one of those things, Butch, where the coach was giving the sign of what to do, and maybe they didn't agree on that. I don't know. And Hudson is still having a conversation with Watkins and Kyler Copeland. The batter's going, whoa, what the heck? Oh, and he's being pulled for a pinch hitter. That's why he's got his hands up in the air going, hey, what's going on here? So he'll be replaced by Braden Cook, a junior right-hander. So Cook will come on to pinch hit for Copeland.
34, Braden Cook.
Copeland had a couple of strikeouts. I think Coach Hudson thought the better of going to Cook.
Strike 1.
6 pitches by Colt McCoy. 6 strikes.
Yep. That's what he does. A 1 pitch. Misses that one. Gosh dang it, Butch.
My fault.
1-1.
But you had to say it sometime.
Yeah, you did.
I maybe should have waited till 10 or 11.
Got him to chase that one. That one was not in the strike zone, but Cook was fooled enough to go after it. 1-2. 3-0 the lead for Sand Springs. 2 outs, bottom of the 6th. They've got a runner on second. And the inning is over. So Colt McCoy comes in, strikes out Steelman, gets Watkins to ground out, and then strikes out the pinch hitter, Braden Cook. But Enid has got to score at least 3 runs to keep this game going. Otherwise, their season will end on the first day of regionals. Sand Springs 3, Enid nothing, going to the 7th. It's Plainsman Baseball from CTV Sports.
Imagine, you're reading a book, there's a pretty decent buildup, and you turn the page anxious to see what's next. The end. Don't let your education be like that book that you just threw across the room. With convenient locations in Tonkawa, Enid, and Stillwater, Northern Oklahoma College can be the next chapter in your life. Enrollment for the summer and fall semester is now open, so visit us at noc.edu to learn more. And remember, don't settle for an unfinished story. Turn your future into something epic with Northern Oklahoma College.
Northern Oklahoma College!
Welcome back to Hilarious Hashtags brought to you by Jack's Outdoor Power Equipment.
Store gave me a square air filter for my mower. Turns out mine uses a round one. Hashtag nothing like Jack's.
Tried to get a part for my edger from the store where I bought it. Guy tried to sell me a new one. Hashtag wish I would have went to Jack's.
Whether it's reliable service or buying the right mower for your yard, remember Jack's Outdoor Power Equipment. Come here first. You won't regret it. 1321 North Van Buren in Enid.
1390 KCRC.
Here's a stat that'll put you in perspective for how good of a night that Josh Cordell has had for Sand Springs. He has thrown 81 pitches, 51 of them strikes, 30 balls. 3-0 is the lead for Sand Springs, and they're 3 outs away from ending the Enid Plainsman season. It'll be up to the 4, 5, and 6 batters for the Plainsmen to keep it going. Cross Bay, C.J. Arndt, and Kobe Hudson. And the good news is those are 3 guys that, as of late, have been hitting the ball well, but Cross Bay is 0-for-2 in this game after going 2-for-2 in the game earlier today against Sepulpa. First pitch to Cross from Cordell. A little bit upstairs, 1-0. So, understandably, Josh Cordell has pitched well enough that you want him to just go out there and finish this one, and you don't have to go into your bullpen before going on into regionals should you win this game if you're Sand Springs. Bay with a smoke shot into right. It's a blooper, but it's caught over the shoulder by Cal Watkins. Enid's been burned by two great defensive plays, one by the right fielder Josh Tabor and one right there by Cal Watkins. One down.
And also he was made a great play on that backhand stop by C.J. Arndt back in the fourth inning that could have got a run in.
Yep, could have tied the game up. When Enid was down 1-0 at that point, now they trail 3-0. C.J. Arndt 0-for-2, breaking ball strike. Looked like CJ saw that, and he was like, I don't want to go after it. That could be, Butch, the very last at-bat for Cross Bay in his Enid baseball career.
And what a career it's been. 4 great years as the starting catcher.
That pitch nearly ends up hitting CJ Arndt in the head, but he ducks around at 1-1. Hudson got that double in the fifth, but then was unable to get home, and then Enid got down on strikeouts in the sixth. Cordell strikes out the side in that top of the sixth inning. Wojtek Scrimmager and Gore all go down that way. 1-1 pitch to CJ. Missing outside, 2-1. 3-0 the lead for Sand Springs. Top of the seventh, 1 out. CJ can sure drive one. I'd love to see him smoke one into the gap. Well, he does hit it high, but it's going to be in there for a fly ball. Right to the center fielder, Trace Tolbert. So now the season rests on the shoulders of Kobe Hudson, who unfortunately committed that big error for the Enid Plainsmen back in the fifth inning that allowed 2 Sand Springs runs to come home and score.
It's an error, but it's a tough error.
But it was a tough error. I mean,
should have been caught.
It's got to be scored an error, unfortunately. Now it's up to him to keep this game going against the hard-throwing Josh Cordell. Strike one. Actually, they're going to say that's a ball. All right, that's a break there because that looked. Did you think that pitch looked good?
Yeah, I thought it was right in the middle.
I mean,
that's a broke low. Eric, a plate umpire, thought it was low. He's a good umpire.
That's a strike. No doubt about that one. Flips the outer half. And that could also be the last at-bat for C.J. Arndt's career. Hudson chases it and misses. 1-2.
That might have been the hardest pitch that Cordell has thrown. That was a high fastball. And it was almost in a glove before Hudson was able to start his swing.
And I'm betting, though, as hard as that one is, he might come up with one that's even harder, or at least try to anyway, as he gets close to 100 pitches. Enid's down to their last strike in the top of the seventh. Hudson got jammed, and that was into shallow center. Caught. Trace Tolbert makes it. Game over. Season over for the Enid Plainsmen. Finished the year 22-13, and for the second year in a row, go home on the first day of regionals. Tough one to swallow. Sand Springs wins this game 3-0, and they will advance to play Sepulpa tomorrow at 4:00 in the afternoon. And the winner of that game will then play Jenks in the regional finals for the chance to go to the state tournament. And Enid will still be searching for their first state championship since 1986, and their season ends with a record of 22-13. Sand Springs is now 17-19. They are moving on to the regional semis tomorrow with a 3-0 win over the Plainsmen. Butch and I will wrap things up from Jenks when we come back after this. It's Plainsmen Baseball from CTV Sports.
Everything went as smoothly as I'd ever seen. Mother looked very nice. That in itself made the day easier to deal with.
No one likes planning a funeral, but we all deal with it at some point. You can take comfort in knowing at Henniker Henson Funeral Home, we'll be there with caring and consoling support you and your loved ones need. At Henniker Henson, we are intimately familiar with every part of the planning process, and we'll relieve some of the burden and grief. We have over a century of dedicated service, integrity, honesty, and friendship. This is Matt Henson. Please visit us at EnidWeCare.com.
We at Stevens Ford, Lincoln, and Enid are proud to support the young men and women of Enid High School with our sponsorship for the broadcast of this ballgame. And we encourage you to show your support by attending as many games as you possibly can. Being there is important because the young men and women of Enid High School today are the future leaders of our community. So let's tell all the young men and women of Enid High School, whether they participate in a sporting event or not, we believe in the future of Enid because of them. And do it by being in the bleachers as often as you can.
John Bowers here from Master Bowers Insurance. Say you bought a new suit. You paid a lot, but it didn't fit right. So you take it to a tailor and he says, I'll use the best material and make it fit you like a glove. But when it's done, it's going to cost you less. Sounds absurd, yet that's what we do every day for our personal and commercial clients at Master Bowers Insurance. Why don't you check out how we can make your house, car, or business insurance fit you better and cost less? Master Bowers, making sense of insurance since 1926. 233-1442.
Folds of Honor is on a mission to empower military families by providing educational scholarships to the children and spouses of military servicemen and women killed or disabled while serving our great nation. That's why Security National Bank of Enid is offering the SMB Folds of Honor Visa debit card. It can be used for all your normal purchases and doesn't cost you anything extra. A portion of each purchase will go to make a lasting impact for military families. Request your Security National Bank Folds of Honor Visa debit card today. Strong, safe, secure. That's Security National Bank of Enid. Member FDIC.
Nobody does trucks better than Northcutt Chevrolet Buick in Enid. Northcutt is your commercial truck headquarters in the state of Oklahoma. And they are Northwest Oklahoma's only Chevrolet business elite dealer. They've got them all with the best selection of chassis cabs, crew cabs, commercial vans, flatbeds, auto cranes, and service body trucks. If you need a tough truck for a big job, your first stop needs to be Northcutt, where you can take a look at the all-new 2017 Chevy Silverado. You'll find a courteous sales staff with over 175 years of experience that will go above and beyond to help you find the right vehicle. Call 800-749-9536 today or go to northcuttauto.com to see their entire inventory online. Right now, get 2016 model year closeout pricing. Save thousands with huge discounts and big rebates. One-stop shopping for all your vehicle needs with easy finance terms, great selection, and the best prices. Northcutt Chevrolet Buick in Enid, your shortcut to a great deal.
Sin. It's not just doing bad things, it's a broken relationship with God the Father. You and I have both sinned and fall short of God's glory. We are the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We won't make you rich or promise a perfect life, nor heal your bruised inner child, but we will show you the real Jesus, the Son of God in flesh, who paid for the world's sins on the cross. Yours too. In Him you have peace with God. To find out more, check the yellow pages for a Lutheran church near you.
What do we want for dinner?
Oh, I want a sandwich.
I want hot wings.
I'm on a diet, so I need a salad.
You know what sounds good to me? Shrimp.
All right, guys, let's narrow this down, because we're never going to find one place that has all that variety.
Sure we will. Wings to go.
Wings to go?
Of course, Wings to go. They have a great family atmosphere with all the menu items you could want.
I love their video games.
Everybody gets what they want to eat, and I get to watch the game. Awesome.
2, 4, 6, 8. Whose wings are really great?
Wings to go, don't you know?
KCRC.
Well, a very difficult night to stomach for the Enid Plainsmen. After a very fun, entertaining, and inspiring regular season where they were able to get their first 20-win season in 8 years, since 2009, their first winning season since 2010, it ends in another bitter defeat on the first day of regionals. Plainsmen lose two games. The first one is going to be one that haunts these guys for a long time. There's no other way to say it. They were up 3-2 against Sepulpa going into the seventh inning. They got the first two outs, and then the next guy got on base with two outs, and after that, five runs on four hits later, Sepulpa takes a 6-3 lead, and they close the Plainsmen out in the bottom of the seventh, forcing Enid into the consolation bracket against the Sand Spring Sandites. And in the game before this one, Jinx absolutely pummeled Sepulpa 9-0, so Jinx is a win away from going to the state tournament on their home field. Sepulpa, with the loss, they will play at 4 o'clock in the afternoon tomorrow, and they'll face Sand Springs in that game after Sand Springs wins the rubber match over the Enid Plainsmen. Enid won the two games in the regular season, 4-0 and 5-1, but Sand Springs wins the one that matters the most in the regional playoffs, ending Enid's season with a record of now 22-13. Let's get you the final numbers first. Let's do pitching. The losing pitcher was Braden Pierce. He went 5 innings plus, gave up 3 hits, 3 runs, only 1 run was earned, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts. He did hit, had 2 hit-by-pitches. He hit Braden Askew twice, and he had 1 wild pitch. Unfortunately, that 1 wild pitch led to the run that got Sand Springs on the board 1-0 in the second, and that would be a lead that they would not relinquish. Colt McCoy came in and pitched an inning, finished off the sixth, did not give up a hit or a run, did not walk anybody. He had 2 strikeouts. The winning pitcher for Sand Springs, pretty easy, Josh Cordell, went the distance the full 7 innings. He gave up just 1 hit. That was to Kobe Hudson. Did not allow a run. He had 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. He did hit 1 batter. That was Mason Scrimmager, but he did not throw a wild pitch. In total, the Enid Plainsmen had no runs on 1 hit, 1 error. They left 3 men on base. Amber Dvojtik in this game was 0-for-3. Mason Scrimmager 0-for-1. Connor Gore, Cross Bay, C.J. Arndt all 0-for-3. Kobe Hudson had the lone hit of the game in this one at 1-for-3. Colby Jarnigan was 0-for-1 with a sacrifice bunt. Braden Pierce and Colton Troxell each went 0-for-2. For the Sand Springs Sandites, Josh Tabor was 1-for-1 with 2 walks and a run scored. Mac Thompson 0-for-3. Trace Tolbert was 0-for-2 with a walk and a run scored. Hunter Greathouse 1-for-3. Cale Savage, 0-for-3. Braden Askew, 2 hit-by-pitches, was 0-for-1 but did score a run. Ty Steelman 1-for-3. Cale Watkins 0-for-2. Kyler Copeland was 0-for-2. Braden Cook as a pinch hitter went 0-for-1. In total, Sand Springs had 3 runs on 3 hits with 2 errors. They did leave 6 men on base, but that's because they got runners on base a lot more often in this game than the Enid Plainsmen did tonight. A very tough pill to swallow, Butch, because this is the year where I think a lot of people, when they considered the regular season that Enid had and all of the things that they did so well in the regular season, unfortunately it ends in one of the toughest ways imaginable.
It is. You know, clutch hitting. We had so many chances in that first game that even though we scored 3 runs, you saw a few opportunities that we could have added a couple more, maybe made a difference. Then it goes back in the second game, and I just think that carryover effect from that tough loss in the first game was just a little bit too much for these young guys to overcome. They just couldn't find their rhythm. Got really a good pitching performance from Braden Pierce in a fine sixth inning by Colt McCoy. And you think of going in, you know, 3 runs, if he gives up 3 runs, even though a couple of them were unearned, that we'd be okay. But, boy, just at the plate, we couldn't find any way of solving those, you know, overhand, sidearm, three-quarters pitches by Cordell, who is really good. You know, one of the best pitching performances you're going to ever see anywhere, as he only walked one and, as you said, struck out 7. And it's a tough night.
Very tough night. And it's a tough way to end what was a very enjoyable season, especially in the regular season. Enid having their first 20-win season since 2009, their first winning season since 2010. But unfortunately, it ends with 2 losses here in the regional round against Sand Springs, 3-0, and prior to that, the 6-3 defeat to the Sepulpa Chieftains. That'll be the one that hurts the most. And in that one, Enid had 2 outs, leading 3-2 in the 7th, 1 out away from victory. Even in this game, they're down 1-0, and they're two outs in the 6th. 1 out away from getting out of that inning, only down a run. And then the error by Kobe Hudson in left field where the ball caromed off the wall where he kind of misplayed it a little bit. I mean, very, very hard pill to swallow for the Enid Plainsmen. But got to talk a moment here about the seniors, Butch. Dakota Chronister, Cross Bay, C.J. Arndt, Colton Troxell, and Colt McCoy. Those 5 young men never had a winning season in any sport in Enid history. They come in tonight. And they come in this year, they enjoy that, they're a big part of that, and boy, they, you know, it's going to be hard to watch them leave, especially Cross Bay. I don't know how you're going to find a catcher like him especially on the defensive side. That's going to be something that Brad Gore is going to have to address this summer with the Enid summer baseball team. But, you know, those five seniors, we talked about how good the young guys have been, but these five seniors helped lay the path for those young men right there, freshmen and sophomores, who will now be juniors and seniors, some of them in the future.
Those five guys have seen a turnaround in this program, not merely in the fact that of wins and losses so much better, but also in the feeling of confidence that those younger guys have bought into. But that had to be done by Coach Gore and the rest of the staff, convincing those seniors that this turnaround could happen, and they had to be a part of it. And over the past couple of years, we've seen it happen. Just wasn't up to the test tonight.
And, I mean, what I really thought was good, too, is that this team showed a lot of grit and toughness throughout the season. Games where the team a year before that went 14-20 would find a way to lose. This year's team found a way to win a lot of those games. But unfortunately, what people need to remember is that there are seven sophomores and there were seven freshmen on this team, a lot of which played and got to see key time. And they're going to have to, those kids are going to need some time to grow and develop. And now I think with the Enid summer baseball program in place the way it is, I think you're going to see a lot of those kids grow up even more.
You can almost pencil in at somebody, either a junior varsity guy or a freshman coming up, in every position, except two things. One, as you mentioned, Cross Bay finding a catcher, because it's so valuable to have someone like him back there. Number two, having a closer and center fielder like Cole Troxell that has been out there for a couple of years but also played nine saves. I mean, that doesn't happen. You had trouble tonight, but really it was just because of not covering a base. Those guys will be tough, but I'm telling you, Colt McCoy's had a great senior year. Dakota Gronister's changed his pitching form a lot. That's helped him a lot. So you see those guys that's made some changes to make this team better.
But unfortunately, it comes at the price of seeing the season end tonight with two losses to Sepulpa, 6-3, and then to Sand Springs, 3-0. Well, it was folks, I want to say a lot to the Enid baseball parents and students and people that tune in all the time. Folks, you make my job very enjoyable, a lot of fun. Thank you so much for tuning in. You certainly don't have to do that. You choose to do that. We appreciate that very much. Always love hearing from you guys on Twitter or text or in emails. You can hit me up anytime on Twitter at JohnHerrick10. That's my Twitter handle, or on my email address at jherrick@knid.com. I always love hearing from Plainsman baseball fans, and unfortunately, I know you guys are heartbroken tonight, but I think that the future for this team is looking awfully bright going in towards next season. But, you know, maybe next year we hopefully win a few of those games in district play and maybe find a way to host a regional at David Allen Ballpark.
One thing about it, they'll never forget tonight's game. Those guys just knew going in they'd been on a roll a little bit. Even the Stillwater game that we lost, we really played well. They just remember you've got to go into these playoffs and not look at anybody's record, not look at who's going to be out there on the mound, who you're going to face, and fight every pitch. And I think that'll serve these guys well in the next couple of 3 years. This program continues to build.
And not only that, you can't even, it doesn't matter. Whatever you did, the biggest lesson that I think these guys learned tonight is that no matter how good your regular season was, you get into the playoffs, it does not matter because everybody's 0-0 and you drop two games, you're out. Baseball is one of the most humbling sports out there, and Enid has found out just how humbling indeed it really has been. So the Enid Plainsman baseball season comes to an end, a record of 22-13. Sepulpa is moving on. They will play, Sand Springs and Sepulpa are both moving on. They'll play at 4:00 tomorrow afternoon. The winner of that game will play Jenks at 6:30. If Jenks wins that game against either one of those teams, they go right to state. However, if one of those teams wins, they'll force an if necessary game against Jenks. Other 6A action to let you know about. Stillwater, needed 9 innings, but they were able to finally knock off Booker T. Washington tonight. 3-2. So Stillwater's going to have a rematch with Bigsby tomorrow at 4:00 in the afternoon. The winner of that game will then face Owosso in the regional finals at 6:30 in regional 7. Broken Arrow beat Union tonight 23-12. And I think Ponca City and Moore were playing in that game. Union falls into the regional semifinals consolation bracket. Let's update you on the scoreboard here before we head out. Just to kind of get you up to date on what's happening there, Deer Creek Edmond is going back to the state tournament after they were able to win in the regional finals tonight beating Bartlesville 5-0. So a lot of quality guys on these teams that we have seen. I'm trying to get my page to reload here. Moore is up on Ponca City 5-3. That game is officially gone final. So Moore ends up eliminating Ponca City, and they win over Union 5-3. So Moore will play Union tomorrow afternoon at 4:30. The winner of that game will then play Broken Arrow at 7 o'clock. Norman North beat Norman earlier tonight, 8-7. So Norman's eliminated after losing to Southmore and Norman North. Let's see what other 6A scores we can get you here that are still going on. Let's see. Sepulpa, let's see here. Norman North beating Southmore 2-0. So Norman North ends up winning over Southmore and Norman North today, and Norman. So that's a 2-0 win for them. So they're going to play Southmore tomorrow at 4 o'clock. If Norman North wins that game, Southmore is eliminated. Westmore came back from that tough loss to Edmond, came back from that tough loss to Lawton, and was able to get all the way to the championship regional final game against Edmond Santa Fe, and they were able to win that game 2-1 tonight. So Westmore will have to play Edmond Santa Fe in the if-necessary game on Friday at 2 o'clock. So they were able to get their revenge on Lawton, beat them a second time, and win that one. And let's see. Also, I think we need to see about the other regional featuring Mustang. Mustang was able to beat Choctaw 7-2 after Choctaw. And let's see what else we have. Choctaw is going to end up facing, see, Putnam City North is playing Putnam City West tonight. Don't have a score on that one. But whoever wins that game will end up playing Choctaw at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the winner of that game will move on to play Mustang in the regional finals. So that's a quick check on the 6A scoreboard. But tonight, the most important thing, the Enid Plains has been fall at Jinx. In two games, their season comes to an end with a record of 22-13. Thank you so much to the Enid Plainsmen baseball coaches who I've worked with all season, head coach Brad Gore, assistant coach Denham Sullivan, and Chris Jensen, along with Chris Percival and Richie Tarango. Also to our board operators who helped make Enid baseball possible on the radio back in our Enid studios, Jance Davis, Lewis Foster, and Ricky Rogo. Also to Chris Morales, who filled in for me for a couple of games on Enid Plainsmen baseball. To our sales staff, Jamie Jander and Tom Nelson, our general manager Sandy Daniels, and also our owner Hiram Champlin, who give me the freedom every year to do Enid baseball. Our program director Ricky Rogo, our traffic director Cindy McNaughton, our promotions director Brett Walenzik, and of course Butch. It's been a joy to have you on board here for another Enid Plainsmen baseball season. And we'll do it again. We'll do it again next year, brother.
Who bet? We're looking forward to it.
Let's see if we can hopefully advance out of day one of regionals next season in Brad Gore's third year. But it falls short here tonight. 22-13 is Enid's final record, and they will play summer baseball this summer as the Enid Plainsmen summer baseball team. And don't forget, we'll bring you all the Enid Majors home games throughout the summer at David Allen Ballpark right here on CTB Sports Radio, AM 1390 KCRC. For Jance Davis tonight and Butch Lingenfelter up in the booth with me, I'm John Herrick saying so long. Thank you so much for tuning in all season long to Enid Plainsmen Baseball from CTB Sports.
You've been listening to Enid Plainsmen Baseball on CTB Sports Radio, AM 1390 KCRC, and online at ctbsports.com. Enid Plainsmen Baseball has been brought to you by Henniger Henson Funeral Home, Stevens Ford, and by our Chisholm Trail Broadcasting Sports Boosters.
Join us next time for more Enid Plainsmen Baseball on 1390 KCRC and ctbsports.com.
CTB Sports Radio 1390 KCRC.
Things too. Save up to $1,000 store-wide on the latest sleep technology from Beautyrest, Serta, and others. Plus, save up to $400 on select adjustable bases and get up to 2 free pillows only during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/circulars. Product offers and prices may vary in Hawaii and Alaska.
What does Advance Auto Parts have to offer? Plenty.
like a rewards program called Speed Perks that gets you $20 off your next purchase when you spend $100 or more. What doesn't Advance Auto Parts have to offer? The recipe to your favorite